You know what? There's more important things than this goddamn intro. Like, CM Punk is in the fucking ring. Hold on a goddamn second. Jesus Christ.
But I knew I couldn't stay, and that was when I used to work for a place called Ring of Honor. August 13th, 2005 was my last match in Ring of Honor, and I famously came out with tears in my eyes. And walking out here today, I now know why I was crying. And it was a lot of reasons, but what it boiled down to was I had made a place where people could come work, get paid, learn their craft, and love professional wrestling. And I cried because I knew I was leaving a place that I love, and it was a home, and I knew where I was going. It wasn't going to be easy for a guy like me, because I'm one of you. So I look at it like this. August 13th, 2005, I left professional wrestling.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
August 20th, 2021.
Oh, shit.
I'm back,
he says.
Woo, let's go, baby.
Yeah.
And I'm back for you.
Me? For me, Smart. For you. For you, Smart.
And I'm back of a lot of young talent that I wished I was surrounded by 10 years ago. So in saying that, I sit back and I say, well, hell, they're there now, so why aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to work with that young talent that had the same passion that I had stamped out. I'm back because there's a couple of scores to settle in that locker room.
Oh, shit.
What Coke Band is that?
Darby Allin.
Here it is. Listen to that fucking crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I'm a little behind, everybody. I apologize. Deal with it.
Yep.
Oh, there he is in the rafters with Sting. Uh-oh.
Hanging out in the rafters.
Hanging out, just chilling, like a villain.
I'm gonna get Sting a wheelchair.
I've seen you. I've seen you jump out of airplanes. I've seen you wrapped up in a body bag and chucked over the top rope. I've seen you kick down a flight of stairs. Every person here in Chicago, you're tough.
Oh, hell. Chicago made.
I'm here to help. And you're the first on the list. I'm going to help you because you're a daredevil and you like danger. Well, Darby Allin, there is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
I could think of a couple things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have sex with Sonny.
Wrestle Brock Lesnar.
In Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Nia Jax. Go.
I will see you, and I'll see Sting, and I'll see all of you September 5th.
Yo.
At All Out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Live on pay-per-view.
Ha, ha, ha.
I'm back.
And he's better than ever, baby.
Woo! Dude, that was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go. There you have it.
Well, the story was that he left professional wrestling and now he's back.
Okay. I'm like, who else is on the line here with us? No one. No one. We're all good. We're good. I forgot that was what it was. Oh, wait. He's still talking. Hold on.
So on your way out of the United Center tonight, me.
Free ice cream, let's go.
Free ice cream, baby.
Who doesn't love a nice cold treat?
Oh, my God. This is awesome, man. This, I look, it's great to see the guy back. Wow, what a get for AEW. AEW. Huge. They delivered. They knew that building would be, let's see, what time is it? 9:18 here, 10:18 most places that are listening right now. The building would probably be smoldering by about now.
Right. Yeah, it would be 9:18 there too. There's Central as well.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's 100% right. So yeah, anyway, everybody, it's Dirt Sheet Dudes. Thanks everybody. We wanted to jump on and do that a little earlier, but whatever, we got there. CM Punk back with a vengeance. I love this, man. I really do.
Yeah, they literally wasted no time. It opened up. There was just a silence for a little second there, and then out came the theme music, and out he came.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look, all the commentators are enjoying ice cream bars. They're just kind of letting CM Punk roll the crowd, get the crowd all hyped up for the rest of the show. I mean, Jesus Christ, where do you go from there? Talk about blowing your fucking load. Jesus, load blown. Blown.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of debate whether or not they should have did this at the end or at the beginning, but that crowd wasn't going to calm down until he came out, so they needed to just, for the betterment of everybody, you didn't want, you know, them stepping over everything else that happened.
Oh, angry Brock Lesnar guy is there. Excited Brock Lesnar fan, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
There he is. Sorry to cut you off there.
This is either proof that he's not a plant or they're even stealing the plants from WWE now.
He's been to a few shows. I've seen him at, like, he was at the first one, 100%, the first AEW show, and he's been to all of them. So
I swear to God, if they tweet out a graphic that says green shirt, smiley face guy is all elite, I'm just fucking done with wrestling.
Oh, he's been to the shows too. Yep, he has. He has. So here's CM Punk, little cheers to you. A little beer.
Man, it is immediately followed up with a Chris Jenner.
Which we're not going to play. We don't need to play that.
Which, if anything, could be more symbolic of just like, yeah. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. Sorry about Wednesday, everybody. My internet was down. They actually replaced the whole satellite on my roof, which actually connects my neighbors, which they were complaining too, so we didn't know they were, but they were calling, we were calling, so they said it's got to be the satellite. So far so good. We're doing a lot better, obviously. I mean, just the fact that we're here is a good thing. Internet's back up, but I apologize, I had nothing. I thought maybe it was the router again, so I plugged directly in, nothing. I thought about trying to use my phone as a hotspot, but neither one of these computers, only the top computer has Wi-Fi, and I'm not connecting everything. I'd have to take out the fucking sound card and drop it in. No. It would be an overhaul, and I'm not doing that. So sorry about that on Wednesday, but we're here. We got plenty, obviously plenty to get into. Lots of shit, actually, to get into. Not just this, but this is obviously was going to be the big news of any night on any show that's on tonight. So really cool that we're getting CM Punk back. And he's not coming back to manage. He's not coming back to do anything, but sounds to me like he's coming back to fucking get back in that goddamn ring. Dude, they just probably broke records for their all out buys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, CM Punk's first match back? Tony Khan is rolling in it right now. He is probably somewhere just sitting there. I'd be sitting there with a goddamn, with a glass of fucking tequila or something.
Well, yes, but we've talked about this before. You know that he's ever so hip. He's, as been admitted by numerous people on numerous platforms, he's a white-clawed man, not unlike G-Liv.
Yeah, you're right. He's probably sitting there drinking a White Claw. Good for him. Good for him.
It's not my thing, but hey, anything that'll get you drunk, you know.
Okay.
It might take more effort than most things, but it'll still eventually get you there.
Take much more effort than most things, but anyway. So there you go. Oh, Sasha Baron Corbin in the chat going, well.
Geez, an LOD now? Gonna come out with the face paint, the shoulder pads.
I mean, Jesus Christ, we already had the brood music tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we had a brood bath, as they were calling it, not to call it a blood bath because it's 2021 and Everyone's a bunch of little fucking pussies. But anyway, I digress.
By the by, they're going to be in Vegas tomorrow, and that's where Gangrel has his school, I believe. So there's a possibility.
Oh, dude. Love to see Gangrel come out with them to that fucking music, come out of the crowd. Oh, that would be beautiful. That would be good shit right there. So, but anyway, I guess while the, you know, commercials and shit are going on, while it's slow, we'll get into a few things here. That's what we can fucking do. We'll get into a few things. Let me pull this back up here. I guess just I mean, I know we're not doing plugs or anything. Again, we just jumped in right there. I wanted to play that. I thought that would be a good thing to play. So there you go. And let's jump into a few things here, Smark. I've got a little bit of trademark news. There's some interesting trademark things going on with WWE, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, and with AEW. Let's see. WWE applied, back on June 25th, they applied for a few trademarks. WWE did. Swing is in the air. I would assume that's for Cesaro.
One would hope, unless they're going to be selling some rather interesting adult-themed novelty items.
Unless they're bringing back Eric Bischoff. WCW, they tried to trademark. They're working on that one. And Hachiman, Hachiman.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got Private Party coming out with Matt Hardy. That was then. Those are a little weird. The swing is in the air is a little odd, definitely. Now, July 1st, they decided to try to go with Wild Boar.
Interesting.
Don't you think? They're getting some, and again, beginning of July, they were also doing some for, they're getting Last Kicker back. They're doing a lot of that shit. Someone that's going to come in as Trent Seven, or do they already have someone as Trent Seven?
Oh, yeah, they use that NXT UK guy.
Okay, there you go. They got that down. Now, let's get a little bit further down here. Now, on July 15th, they actually trademarked some numbers.
They held the official like copyright claim over just like the number 57.
90435271, 90435290, and 90435433.
I used to love that show back in the day.
It's not 227, but it was a comedy. With there you go.
Yeah, the one with Luke Perry, 927345.
XXBC. Now, The weird thing is when you go to the logo trademark, it's not in English. It looks to be in... I don't know my Japanese from Chinese, from Korean. I don't know what any of them are, but it looks to be in one of those languages. A little weird. So I don't know what they're doing with that, but I thought it was weird. They abandoned Theodore Long.
Aww, that sounds sad.
They abandoned the Teddy Long one. They also abandoned Bella Body. Anyone thinking they're coming back? I'm not. She keeps teasing it, but And I don't think it's happening. Right after.
I'm still just having a hard time just getting the phrase "they abandoned Teddy Long" out of my head. I just see him just like aimlessly wandering around a mall parking lot looking lost and afraid.
Yeah, probably.
The Undertaker said he was going to come pick me up, play.
Now, do you remember when they got rid of Bray Wyatt?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, do you know the date? Mid-July, right?
Yeah.
Well, on July 22nd, they decided to trademark Let Me In. They're going for the Index trademark for Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. Bella Wine matchups. I think we're going to be seeing a game show with the Bellas.
Boy, oh boy.
Yep. Yeah, Friday, July 30th, they abandoned Delicious. Delicious. Delicious, Mark. Yeah. Also on July 30th, they applied for Yowie Wowie. Oh, they're about to fuck Bray Wyatt bad. Sunray, I believe they're also, that might be a different name for maybe Dewdrop. I don't know. Now, here's what some of the interesting ones are. August 12th, they got the Man Thing coming back. Wreck Everyone and Leave, obviously. Earn Your Scars. Mustache Mountain. Bringing that dude, I guess, back around. And Stun the World. I'm hoping that's for Kevin Owens.
Yeah, more than likely.
They abandoned the Botch Club with Gallows and Anderson.
They were just hanging out of that one for a while, huh?
And on August 16th, they abandoned Paul Heyman. Aww. The trademark for Paul Heyman. They're slowly putting him down to just a manager. It took him out of the writing role for a while. And after a while, he was supposed to be some sort of consultant. They stopped doing that with them. He was on, what was that, SmackDown, After SmackDown, whatever the show was called.
Talking Smack.
They pulled him off of that. Not quite sure what's going on with them, really. But something, I guess. Something with Paul Heyman. I don't know. Maybe they're not happy with him. Who knows? But that's some of the interesting stuff for WWE. They also decided to try to trademark War Games again.
Mm-hmm.
AEW isn't as bad. They're going for a little bit of the bubbly, the First Dance. Those are obvious ones right there. August 13th was the one that kind of caught me. Blood Brothers. Wonder what that's going to be. There's some interesting thoughts you could do with that one right there. Blood Brothers, huh?
Yeah.
Could be a lot going with that. I'm wondering. It almost makes me think Jeff Hardy may be coming in.
Possibly. This is an AEW trademark, you said, yeah?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like you said, there is a couple of different things you could go with in that one. But, I mean, possibly. Who knows? It's hard to say.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. But anyway, I just wanted to bring those up real quick. I figured I'd do that at the beginning. And again, since we weren't on Wednesday, I might bring up some old news, and we apologize if we do. We won't spend tons of time on any of the older stuff. But one I wanted to bring up, Smark, is over last weekend, not this weekend, obviously. That'd be telling the fortune. Last weekend, Ric Flair showed up at AAA, Smark.
Yes, he did. The old Triple Mania.
Yep, with the old, with Andrade going up against Kenny Omega. And did you see the video of the chops?
I mean, I saw the entire show, so yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was watching Triple Mania. I posted it before. I had the scoop, the old scoop in the umbrella form, the Facebook group, that he was out there with Andrade. I watched the entire show. It was very interesting because everybody else was talking about it after the fact, you know, the next day or that Monday, whatever, whenever after it had happened. And it was very obvious. You could obviously tell who saw the show and who didn't see the show.
Just by who was saying what.
Mm-hmm. Well, because if anybody were to have seen the show, they would have seen, like, they would have been talking about the first match, because the first match, and I will post a couple of things in the old Mixlr chat here, mixlr.com/dirtsheetdudes, but the first match is they have a partnership with Marvel, and you had a guy come out dressed as Spider, and they did this last year too. There was superheroes versus villains fighting each other, so you had a guy come out dressed as Spider-Man. And now he's coming out from a zip line, like how Shawn Michaels did it, like in your house.
Oh.
So he's coming out on a zip line, but he's hanging upside down.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh my God, this mother, like, I hope this, if they don't have this on delay, I'm about to watch a motherfucker die. Like, it was scary. Like, I was like, I wouldn't trust them to do this normally. And this motherfucker is doing it upside down. So there was that. Then they end up wrestling. It's like Spider-Man and like Captain America and some other female superhero that I'm not aware of. They're wrestling this evil faction. And like towards the end of the match, a guy comes out in the worst looking Incredible Hulk outfit I've ever seen in my life. It's like the shittiest mask. Like, you get a better mask at the dollar store. He has on purple pants and a green shirt. And like, his body's not painted green. Like, he has regular colored arms Like, you could see his regular colored eyes and face and shit through this shitty Incredible Hulk mask. And he punches through this, like, styrofoam brick wall. Like, he's in, comes busting through like he's the fucking Kool-Aid man. Runs in, beats up the bad guys, and Spider-Man wins. Like, it's it was the most ridiculous fucking thing I've ever seen. And I highly encourage people to seek it out.
Meanwhile, there's a dinosaur trying to tag into the ring.
Yep, that's the times that we live in these days.
I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, there's a... The dinosaur trying to tag into the ring. I'm trying to get this joint going here.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to post it. Here's a tweet with the pictures of the Spider-Man thing. I'll try to see if I can dig out the Incredible Hulk one. It was fucking wild.
Yeah, man. Go for it. Right now, we got on Rampage, we've got, again, Lucha Express versus Private Party and Matt Hardy. Good match so far. Like, you know.
Here it is. Okay, this is great. You need to see this. And if you just, for those who aren't in the chat room, if you just type in Spider-Man Triple Mania and Incredible Hulk Triple Mania, it'll be the first result.
Yeah, I need to check this out. Let me go check this out real quick. Let's check out the, let's see, what do we got here first? First, we've got the, oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's a little,
yes.
Oh, God, that's a little scary. He's like, oh, yeah, that, there's nowhere to go if that falls. Okay. And he was on the other guy was on a motorcycle. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Captain America came out on a motorcycle. I don't know if that's canonical with the Captain America theme or if that guy just wanted to ride a motorcycle dressed like Captain America. Either way, I don't blame him.
That's a nice bike. I wouldn't mind riding a motorcycle to the ring. It's a nice looking bike right there. Let's see what else we got here. We got the guy dressed up as Hulk. Let's check that out. Oh, good Lord.
Yes, it's incredible.
Oh, that's... No, it's not incredible, actually.
And the only reason his arms look green is because of the lighting. He just had fully regular flesh toned skin. Like, he didn't even bother painting his body up at all. There was like zero commitment. It was fucking awesome.
In all fairness, that shit would be all over the other guy in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, less than that. True, but at the same time, I was watching another Triple Mania in like preparation of this, and Jack Evans and Helico both painted their bodies up in like glowing, like neon colored paint. So that when the lights were off, they would like glow in the dark, and that didn't cause a giant mess. So this guy just didn't really feel like fucking washing it off in the shower, I don't think.
Oh, maybe he was tired. Maybe he
yeah.
was tired. But yeah, Ric Flair did show up on that show. No, I'm not going to bring up the picture because I don't think that's Ric Flair munching.
He says it's not. Bear. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not, but he says that it's not.
I think Ric Flair would have had his dick out, but that's just me.
Well, my favorite part about it is the tweet that he put out that denied it. It wasn't just that I would not do that. It was that I wouldn't ride in the train. Like, I'm better than that. I'm Ric Flair. I don't
Absolutely.
Ride
Absolutely. And it looked like the girl had a tattoo on her ankle. There's a proud father recognizing that tattoo right now. That's my girl. Well, yeah, my girl.
Well, that's the other thing is it's like he's riding, he's on a train, and I don't want to disparage public transportation, but if he's riding a train, he probably doesn't have a lot of money. So there's some other factor that have brought these two young lovebirds together, and I have no idea what that would be.
Well, maybe he's riding that train high on cocaine.
There you go.
Casey Jones, you better. Watch yo speed.
There trouble, you have it.
Trouble ahead, trouble behind. Casey Jones, you better just watch my mind.
I mean, I've heard the song before, but not, I don't know it well enough to be able to contribute.
A little Grateful Dead. A little Grateful Dead there for you. Just a little, open you up a little bit to some stuff there. A little Grateful Dead. I like Grateful Dead. Some of their stuff. I always wanted to go to one of their concerts. I was way too young. The only time I could have gone, I was just way too young. I was like 13 years old. And my sister went, and I never got to go. So
there you have it. I mean, they have like Dead and Company. I guess it's sort of spiritual successor, like how they do in the Leonard Skinner lineup now, where it's only like two actual members and just a bunch of other people that they found they could do it. As the Jurassic Express wins the match with a pretty cool finishing move.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're right. They try to cover those bands, just doesn't sound right. But anyway, Let's see, where were we here? Oh, Young Bucks are out to annoy Jurassic Express. Oh, what are they doing? So that means they get a match.
Yeah,
right?
they got a match scheduled for Dynamite for the tag team championships. They announced that on Wednesday.
Here, want to play a little Kenny Omega, Don Callis?
The chair, the cheating. What about the crooked ref? Well, here's the champ there, Tim. There's Kenny Omega on the left. Cage, at All Out, it's you tell him what's gonna
happen at All Out, Kenny Omega. Look, Rampage, the first dance. Clearly, this night was meant for me. This whole thing was set up for me. You ruined my entire Christian Cage at All Out. I'm gonna retire you for another 7 years. You're gonna wish you never came back.
All right, I'm sorry for the voice in the background there.
We were trying out a new intern tonight. I don't think he's gonna make the cut. I wouldn't expect to hear him again Wednesday.
It was hard to watch on the computer. Let's just put it that way. It was hard to watch this show on the computer.
Yeah, our monitors kept going out. I don't know. Technical issues.
Well, you know, the internet's still a little... needs to warm up a little bit. Needs to warm up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, we assure you everything's being done above board, though. We are nothing if not law-abiding citizens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most definitely. And we will, obviously, tonight... jump into the old SummerSlam and even NXT predictions before we get into SmackDown tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick, scrolling through Facebook the other day, Smart.
Yes.
Just waking up in the morning, scrolling through Facebook. And this company called Super Chewer Bark Box actually is... if you sign up for their thing, you will actually get a dog toy belt.
Mm-hmm.
It is a WWE belt. And I might have to get one of these for my dog. Even though he's only got 10 teeth, he can have fun with it.
Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, presumably if he has 10 teeth, he's maybe a bit of an older dog. And I mean,
yeah.
They tend to prefer older talent on their roster, so you know, just pretend your dog's Goldberg. You can just have him like trying to growl and snarl and have the belt in his mouth. That makes sense.
Just jackhammer the belt. I honestly didn't know they had pet stuff there. Really, I didn't. I have a half Boston Terrier, half pug dog. He's short and not as fat as he was. He's lost the good amount of weight in a good way. He's lost weight. We've been keeping him on a diet. So
there you go.
Well, the only thing he'll eat is fucking tuna and canned chicken.
So none of the regular dog food, no,
won't
out
eat
of the bag, no, like out of the little packets, like dry dog food, whatever the fuck, the canned stuff too. Nothing won't, like that.
Won't eat it. All he'll eat. The only, he won't even eat the shitty dog, like the shitty wet food. He'll eat the Caesar wet food. My parents gave me some of that and he ate it. But if I get him like the regular wet food, first of all, it's too much for him.
Right.
Second of all, it's full of shit. So really all my
dog... and it smells terrible, by the way.
No, there's that. But all my dog will eat is canned chicken and canned tuna. And we, you know, we get the hard-boiled eggs from Costco and we put a couple hard-boiled eggs in there every now and then just to make it a little more nutritious for him, but doctor says if that's what he's eating, that's what he's eating.
Dirk in the chat here is asking, what kind of dog? I believe you said Boston Terrier, yeah?
Half Boston Terrier, half pug, yeah.
Okay, yes. Half Boston Terrier, half pug.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the pug teeth, the pug tail. He doesn't have the smushed in face. He's got a little bit of a nose to him, which really isn't even Boston Terrier. That makes me think he's got something else that they can't judge in him. But he's just a really good dog. So he's black, white, and just looks like a pug. And he's just a fat little thing. And since he's lost weight, though, he can jump on the couch. So every day I come home now, I find him on my couch.
Nah.
He literally could not jump on the couch for like 3 years.
That's good to see that. Then I guess improving. That always happens with me when I leave the house. So I just kind of get ahead of the situation and just put like a blanket on my bed because I know that my dog's going to jump up there anyway. So it's like, yep, here's your blanket. Just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Oh. Then, of course, inevitably the dog decides to lay anywhere but where the blanket is. Mm. So completely defeats the purpose, but it's worth a shot.
All right. We got this little Jade Cargill red velvet. God, that Jade Cargill. Oh, Jesus.
wearing a red leather bodysuit.
Looking good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. God
damn, like a fucking dessert. Anyway, don't know what else to say. The reason I did bring up SummerSlam is because there is a DJ that's supposed to be performing this tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow. I keep forgetting that it's tomorrow. I keep thinking it's Sunday, but TakeOver is Sunday.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It is. But there's a DJ performing, DJ Valentino Khan.
Which we've all heard of. So, you know, there's no point in explaining who he is because he's, of course, world famous.
Yeah. Oh, there's Jade Cargill out to wrestle. Oh, my. Look at those abs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let me just keep talking about this because if I look keep looking at her, I'm going to have to take a break. So he is supposedly, I don't know if WWE did announce that he, the producer and DJ will be performing at, I'm stuttering tonight and I apologize, stammering a little bit. We'll perform live at, I haven't done enough shots.
And as you say this, the camera pans over to Kiera Hogan, and now I am distracted, so this is going to make for quality content.
This is, like, so distracting, this match. I mean...
Happy birthday. I don't know whose birthday it is, but there is plenty of cake in this here.
The fans are winning in this match, 100% right, Smark. Absolutely. The fans are winning. This is good. Should be a... Not going to be a fucking barn burner, but it should be a decent match to watch, if you know what I mean.
Probably going to be a little on the shorter side of things since they still have another match coming up. So somebody's going to get squashed, either Kiera Hogan here or Daniel Garcia, John Moxley in the main event. Probably Garcia. Obviously, Moxley would be getting squashed.
We'll see. We will see. But, excuse me, I'm exhausted, guys. I worked all weekend last weekend. It's catching up to me. Yesterday, it caught up to me. I was passing out on the couch at 8 o'clock. My wife made me go to bed. 8 o'clock. I'm like, oh my God, I'm really getting old.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. Like, I can't say anything because last like 2 or 3 days I've taken a nap.
Oh, it's been ridiculously hot here, man. Like 96 with a heat index of like 104.
It's been really rainy here, so it's kept the heat at bay. So that's always nice.
Which is that's what the rain is supposed to do. Not here. No, it was fucking like a bad Florida day here. Jade Cargill quickly wins.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't expect that to last very long, but there you go. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we got this DJ Valentino Khan jumping in there. I honestly haven't heard his stuff. I did go on YouTube and play a little bit of it. Not my kind of stuff. Pretty much he just kind of does techno and just kind of actually does DJing, not just, you know, mixing songs together. He just puts his own beats together. Not bad. We'll see what he does. But there you
I
go.
I believe the original plan was supposed to be Cardi B, but I think she pulled out at the last minute. I think I got back from what I've heard. She's pregnant. I don't keep abreast of all the latest Cardi B news and info. Surprisingly enough, I know everybody would think that I'd be such a big fan, but surprisingly not. No.
Punk will be on Dynamite this Wednesday. And they just showed a guy actually tearing up when Punk came out.
Mm-hmm.
Crying. A man. Grown man. Not a child.
Yeah, it was Cole Cabana. His push is over. Fuck, he's getting thrown to the bag burner.
Now he remembers I exist. Son of a bitch. I blocked him on Twitter. I blocked him on Twitter.
He's going to put on one of those, like, the fucking windshield wiper style hats or masks that they've been using for the people that are, like, very worried about getting COVID.
Face shield.
Those little hard plastic face shields.
Yeah.
Just be like, you can't see me anymore.
Oh, that's a John Cena thing.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. He should have turned into John Cena. He might have. Maybe. Anyway, we'll see what happens with the DJ, how good he does. Well, I don't know.
I don't know why, but Mark Henry being a backstage interviewer just makes me laugh. There's just something about it. He just doesn't. He's such a big guy that it just doesn't look natural.
Here we go. Let's play.
I beat Matt Sydal, but to be the biggest name in this company, I have to beat Jon Moxley in the United
States. You got no chance.
Moxley for such a tough guy. You went down pretty quick when Garcia Tanya Hardinged your ass, didn't you? Moxley, we got 15,000 people in the United Center that have waited 20 years for a main event like
this. 2.0 going here.
It's kind of 22.
20 years. They've been waiting. They've been waiting for 20 fucking years. Why did you do this to them?
It's a good question.
20 years for this.
30 seconds away from the assault, and they stick a camera in my face. This is idiots on the screen.
And why does he need an IV in his ear? What the fuck is happening in these promos here, Smart?
He's dehydrated. It's clearly hot. That's why he's all red right now.
Did Warrior come back and start cutting promos for these guys? What the fuck?
Maybe cocaine is back.
Had enough talk. It's time for the main event.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it, Mark. You just said main event. So main event's coming up. That's right. Go for it, buddy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, yeah. Boomer Sooner. Boomer Sooner. Sooner. Boomer Sooner.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. As I try to untangle my cords here.
Why don't you untangle your cord and move on to something?
All right, we'll do that. Actually, I got one queued up here, I guess. I hadn't sent this to you, but it's kind of interesting. It's actually not going to say who it's from. Because I didn't realize who it was from until I read the article.
Oh, it's fucking Ringside News, isn't it?
It's a quote, though, so okay. He actually did say the thing.
Well, did he? Okay, let's see. Come on.
During a chat on his Twitch channel, Adam Cole addressed his future on the platform. He feels bad about not being able to stream for very long, but just a couple of hours is well worth it for the former NXT champion. He also made it 100% clear that his Twitch channel is now going away. It should be not going away. This is why we don't read shit from them, because they don't have any proofreaders or editors. Quote, but guys, I love y'all so much. I wish so bad that I could just stream for a few more hours. But it makes me so happy to even be able to stream for a little bit. And it's why when I say no matter what, there is a zero chance that this channel is ever going away. I will never give this up. I love this with my entire heart. And I love you guys. That's how important you are to me, because you guys make me feel very important. So again, there's been a lot going on lately. I just want to make sure everyone knows that this is going nowhere. This is going absolutely nowhere.
Oh, I'm glad Adam Cole thinks everyone that watches his Twitch channel is important. That's a good thing. Just saw an ad for the goddamn pussy razor.
I mean, it's better than him browbeating people and being like, I'm very glad that you nerds are giving me money on a daily basis. Again, my P.O. Box number is...
You marks giving me money.
I mean, that's pretty much what Paige's stream was her just yelling at people to give her money. So, I mean, it's saying that you're important, even if it's a bunch of bullshit, is still a little bit more flattering to the ego than just, I'm going to be on until people stop giving me money.
Yeah, but Paige had enhancements done that people enjoyed looking at.
This is true.
It is.
Oh, by the by, this is completely off topic.
Oh,
but,
shit.
They're now going to start banning porn on OnlyFans. Starting in October, no more pornography on the OnlyFans. How about that?
Rest in peace, OnlyFans.
So many people are going to be out of work.
Hey, you know the good thing? You're going to be able to get service at your restaurants again. And you're
going to... I would go ahead and invest in Patreon if I were you out there and listening.
I would invest in your local restaurants at this point.
True.
They're going to have people back again, man. I'm telling you, the girls are coming back. Strip clubs about to get crowded as fuck.
People are trying to figure out how to do hot tub fucking content at the TGI Fridays.
Look, I don't. There's also I get it. They want to get rid of like straight fucking, but I mean, are they going to get rid of the girls that literally there's businesses of girls working from home, stripping from home.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're getting nude, but they're not, you know, not all of them are sitting there, you know, finger in their fucking ass, or like Sonny have videos says what's on my finger. I don't want to know.
See, I would argue that it's worse though to charge like exorbitant fees and to not do such things. Because, I mean, there are people that are putting out. I just saw, actually, this jogs another memory up that I had wanted to send to you that I think it's outlandish. And it's AEW related, so this actually is wrestling. The Bunny opened up a Patreon this week. And it's, I believe it starts at 15. It goes from 15, 25 to 50. But 50 for exclusive, quote, photo shoots. Mm. So this woman is going to be charging people $50 a month for presumably PG clothes photo shoots, and people will be giving this woman money for that.
Dude, Zelina,
sign of the times.
Zelina Vega was doing that just to do cosplay stuff, and she was charging more than that.
Equally outlandish. We didn't talk about that, but
outlandish, yes. But I'm sorry, there's a sucker.
I mean, if people are going to pay for it, I don't blame them.
Exactly,
still, it's crazy.
I mean, there's a sucker born every minute, and if those guys are going to pay for it, that's
which is, it's great because in both instances there are, let's just say, special intimate photos that were perhaps not intended for public consumption, but are still out there for public consumption for free. And these people are paying upwards of 50 to more, I guess you were saying, in the case of Vega, for that kind of thing. So for less than that, actually, rather.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you're talking to a guy who spent 2 years at a goddamn strip club every weekend. I was the sucker born, except, like I said, they would go to other guys' tables, get drinks, then come to our table and sit and bullshit until they got back up on stage.
Well, at least you didn't have to pay for their drinks, I guess. That's some of the overhead.
And sometimes I did, just because they were sitting there and needed another drink. But I don't know, man. But like I said, I used to go to the Renaissance Festival. These come to my parties at my house. 2 o'clock, 2:30 at my house for a party. That's when the party got going.
Was there ever a crossover between these two interests? Was there ever like the Renaissance Fair people and the strippers like converging together?
Well, I mean, I used to go to the Renaissance Festival with the stripper girls.
That is a wonderful mental image.
Yeah, I used to meet them all there. We'd all go. It was pretty cool. Like, we did that like 3 years in a row. That's kind of how I got to know them. I got to know them best by taking one of my customers there. This was a big customer. And that's how I started taking my customer there. I would take them there during the day, like lunchtime, which was a big thing at this place. You got free lunch with, you know, when you sat there for a little while, 2-drink minimum. I'm like, oh, great, 2-drink minimum at lunch. Great. So it was just, that's how I got to know them. And then I kept going back and going back, and the day girls that worked double shifts knew me, so they would introduce me to the night girls. And before I knew it, I knew the whole fucking club. And we were literally, if the guy taking the cover money saw us in the back of the line, he would literally hold everyone back so we could walk up and not charge us. Okay. We fucking owned, it was like we owned the place, me and my buddy.
By the by, Night Girls is my favorite Bob Seger song.
Moves.
Working on the night, girls. That's about the best I could do for you on that one.
Is it?
That's not, go ahead.
I mean, her strut is a little bit more of a stripper song.
True, but I wanted to make something out of the phrase "night girls" because it just kind of piqued my ears. It's either like a rejected Bob Seger song or like one of those, it's like a court show, but the lawyers are strippers at night.
There you go. Night court?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, night court, but with strippers.
With strippers. I like it. I believe they actually did have girls of the night in those many times in that show. Many times.
So to get back to the point that I brought up about 45 minutes ago at this point, I read the story about Adam Cole keeping his Twitch and saying that he doesn't plan on going anywhere because, as you remember, as we've talked about ad nauseum at this point, around about October or so, not allowed to have a Twitch account if you're on the main roster. So this sort of implies that there's either going to be some sort of a special deal worked out where he's allowed to come up to the main roster and still maintain his Twitch account. A, B, he's staying with NXT, or C, he's going to AEW.
I don't see him going anywhere. He's staying there.
I mean, I feel like you set a dangerous precedent if you decide to bring him up on the main roster and then create a deal where he is the only exception to the rule that you're allowed to have a Twitch account and be on the main roster. You could, of course, just drop the dumb bullshit and let everybody have their own Twitch accounts, but I don't see that happening either. So that kind of eliminates the first possibility.
Or he's going to forfeit the profits and do it because he loves the show and loves doing it. And WWE is probably good with that.
Donate it to charity or something too.
Charity, the Vince McMahon Foundation.
Oh no, you for real? Yeah, I mean, do like how they do with the Coleman thing, where they only give a small percentage, which they tell you about in very small print during their commercials in October, and then you give like 5%. The fucking WWE keeps the rest, and then they act like they're the big charitable organization.
Yeah, well, that's what they do, man.
Mm-hmm.
The business. It's all a business.
By the by, this Moxley Garcia match is actually pretty good. He's working him over at the moment. He's got a submission hold on him. Moxley turns it over, counters it. He's got a submission of his own in now.
Oh, shit.
Garcia taps.
I mean, 59 after, obviously. That's right. I wasn't even watching it, to be honest with you. Forgot about it.
I think he's going to be a big deal for them, too. His first match over there was kind of outshadowed because he had the Dante Martin match before that, and he kind of stole the show. But I feel like they have a lot of faith in him if they're putting him in the main event of such a highly publicized and, you know, obviously a show that's going to be doing big numbers ratings-wise. If he's in their main event, I feel like that's a definite sign of good faith for him.
I knew someone was going to jump Moxley. I was about to say, who's going to jump Moxley?
Mm-hmm. Got old 3.0 or 2.0 rather in 2. There working them over.
2.0.
Well, they were 3.0 at one point. They wrestled under that name in Chikara, so I'm getting it mixed up because there's been about 4 different iterations of these guys at this point.
Oh, shit. Darby and Sting coming down to the ring now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Does he do it? Does Punk come back? No. No.
I don't think so. He might stand at the ramp, but I think that'll be about it.
Do not let him get in the ring and get physical. No. Not now.
They're going to conserve. They're going to hold that off for a long time.
Oh, Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston in basketball shorts. The fuck, bro?
I do appreciate how he's kind of just dressed as though he's competing at like a brawl at Denny's at 2 a.m.
He looks like he's ready to be in the ring to me.
He's a true New Yorker.
Got the Jordans on.
Mm-hmm. He stopped what he was doing so that he could put a hat on and then climb up to the middle rope. He had to make sure that he had his Yankees cap on. Just
Darby,
to, just
double coffin drop on 2.0 by Darby, and Kingston is just standing on the other side of the ring, going, "What do I do now? Okay, I'll jump down and hug John."
Yeah, he's not exactly an aerial expert.
No, not at all. Darby's giving a brooding look into the crowd. And it looks like we're probably over. We're actually overtime by a minute so far. Almost 2. Mm-hmm. So that was Rampage.
Yep.
That was Rampage. And to remind everyone, this will be the last Friday wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
This will be next week, September 3rd. Hollywood
Hangout. Next week is the 27th.
It's the week after then, right?
Mm-hmm. You can take that week off if you'd like, but
No.
It's not the third next week, I will say, just for the sake of your calendar.
I messed up. I forgot what date it was. So we have one more week of this show. Nice. Okay. One more week. Okay.
First dance was tonight. The last dance for us is next week. How about it?
There you go.
Friday.
All right. Let's take this off here. And, since we're obviously not giving a shit about Adam Cole, why don't you just go to something else?
There you go. How about that? So I guess to stay, since we're talking about things that we all clearly care about, this is another one from The Observer. The relationship with Full Sail University is now over. The Performance Center will be the permanent home for NXT.
I kind of figured this was the way it was going, just by the way that they're not like I said, the way they were being treated, but kind of the way they're being treated over there. I guess they wouldn't let them do the dome and all that, you know, for long enough. And I don't know, man. They were there for a long time. Time to move on. Obviously, they're going to make the Capitol Wrestling Center their home for a while. More than likely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know exactly when that the they're going to be doing all the shows at the Performance Center. I know they were taping a bunch of episodes this week, so we'll see when that transition officially takes place. But it's kind of interesting. I mean, for the longest time, they had been there and they had built up their, you know, steady fan base. I know we like to make fun of them for being sheep because at times they were, but it's like definitely kind of solidifies the fact that the show Sunday is going to be kind of the end of an era.
Yeah. 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 Kind of will be. But, yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, the place they're at now is just fine. Obviously, I don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, they can't tear it up like they could their own place at the Performance Center, but I don't know. Full Sail must just run its course, or they were charging too much, or I mean, you know, all these budget cuts, Mark.
Right. Well, I mean, they have for the last couple weeks now been saying that NXT is going to go into a new direction, and I guess it's kind of their way of hammering that point home.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of that, Smark, we had a little video pop up. This was today on the tryouts from day one in Las Vegas. There were a few speeches given by the coaches. Matt Bloom, formerly A-Train, Prince Albert, Tensai. Oh my God, Tensai.
Who can forget?
Oh, who wants to forget? Me.
Yes, who would be willing to forget?
Now, there was a video up here, which I'm not sure the video didn't pull up, but give me a second here. Here it is. We can play a little bit of this. I'll play you the speeches real quick. Let me start it up a little bit here. I think we got a little... Where? Jesus Christ. You hit refresh, it pops up, and then the second you touch it, it fucking goes away. Oh, let me do this one more time. Give me a second here. I'll make this a little easier. I will actually open it in YouTube. There we go. Oh, there's probably an ad. There's a fucking ad. Mm-hmm. Oh, a Disney ad. Imagine that.
Ah, yes, of course. Spend the we got about 2 weeks before they force everybody back into their homes again. So go ahead and take your family to an $800 vacation to Disney World.
There you go. Here we go.
To teach you the basic fundamentals of sports entertainment. 2 days to try to teach you what takes people a lifetime to master, if they're lucky. All right? 4 sessions. So I'm gonna ask you to work your tails off. I'm gonna test you physically. I'm gonna test you mentally. I wanna test you creatively. We're gonna throw a lot at you. Don't leave anything on the table. When this is all said and done, I want you to look in the mirror at the end of the day and say, God dang it, I'm sore. But I left it all out there, and I'm proud of what I did. And I promise you, if you give us everything, and we've done a lot of these, if you give us everything, you'll be a better person on the end of the second on the end of the second day, last session, than you are right now. Both up here, both in here.
All right. So there you go. A little bit of Matt Bloom right there starting off, talking a little bit. They got a lot. I got like 40 people were at this tryout. Big-ass tryout, though. They do interview one of the guys, which I'll get to in a few minutes here. But from this point on, this video, they made a good little video, WWE, to put out. And it's just got a bunch of the guys. They're just showing them all having a good time while they're busting their ass. Let's see. I got to a part here where Triple H was giving a speech. I want to get to that real quick. Give me a second here.
I feel like they should like make the experience more accurate and just have them like cut promos and then occasionally just hit a loud buzzer because they said a word that they're not allowed to use. Like, oh, no, you said asparagus.
You said asparagus. Don't you know that makes your piss smell?
Somebody sneezes and they just automatically get fired.
You can't control the smell of your piss. What good are you?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Eat more grapefruit.
There you go. Yes.
No, let's get back to this little video here. I got a part here. Triple H is about to come up a few seconds before he comes up, but here we go.
Be respectful. Be a star. Get in that ring. Show me some personality, like Regal said. Heart, desire, passion for this is what it takes. I'm looking for who I can't stop looking at. Every time they do something, I'm looking at that person and my eye keeps going to them. Why? Because they got it. I want it. Bring it. Bring it this afternoon. Bring it tomorrow. That's what we're
let's go.
At.
Hey, look!
Bring it, Smark. Bring it.
I wonder what they would do if somebody showed up with a literal copy of the fucking It movie.
That would... Look, I brought
like,
it.
Like, look, it's Tim Curry. You're fired.
I'd be impressed. I really would be. I'd be like, you are fucking hired right now. You don't know. No, tryouts are over for you. You're here. You're here. You're good. You're good. You're all good. I love it. I love it. Absolutely fucking love it.
Kind of feel sorry for Triple H. He sounds defeated. He's like, I'm looking for the guy that I'm going to try to get over and that's going to get fired in about 2 months. Let's see what you got.
We're looking for the next crop of people to be fired. Jesus, you had to dig back for that one. All right, let's play a little more. I think we got one more little speech here by, again, they do an interview with one of the guys. I'm not going to play. It's pretty long. But let's go ahead and do the last little Matt Balloon speech here.
And good session. Be proud of that one. You finished strong. I appreciate how you started and how you finished. Tomorrow you have an opportunity to dress to impress. Show us what a WWE, what you feel like, how you would represent yourself on WWE TV. All right?
Yes, sir.
Good session. Thank you very much. See y'all tomorrow.
All right. So, first of all, one of the things I noticed in the first speech, Matt Bloom said, sports entertainment, of course. He didn't say wrestling. Mm-hmm. Got to make that distinction. Even though I think NXT is more wrestling than either WWE show, in my opinion.
Was. I mean, we don't know what the new product's going to look like. I mean, actually, I kind of do know what the new product's going to look like. There's going to be a lot of big guys who are very inexperienced, and it's going to make for an interesting show in sort of a funny sense.
It should. It should. But it's, you know, that I thought that was a pretty good speech that he said. You know, telling the, but I'll tell you what, when you go to that last little part of the video there, there's a few less people there.
People were getting fired during his speech.
I think they were quitting. Can't do it. Quitting. Tapping out. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I can't fucking do this.
Perhaps.
But I don't know. There were a few less people there than at the beginning. So I don't know. But they are doing more tryouts. And as far as that no midgets thing, not quite sure about that. Look at that video. Just go to Wrestling Inc. They've got a article about it. News from the WWE tryouts, day one, Las Vegas.
There you go.
And not many tall guys. One tall girl, one tall guy. That's about it. Everybody else could wrestle Roderick Strong.
Yeah, I mean, there's still quite a few of, like, just big guys that they're pushing at the moment and getting out there. They're doing the, I think on next week, NXT, I think they're going to be doing the finals where they have Odyssey Jones and the Prospect Tournament or whatever it is. They're calling it the Breakthrough Star or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've heard, I just haven't had time, man.
And they had added an additional match for the pre-show, the NXT pre-show. They're going to have old, what's his name? Holland. I forget
Ridge.
His first name. But
Ridge
he got
Holland.
Ridge Holland. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Ridge Holland against, I believe, Trey Baxter. I was trying to look for the name that they're calling him. I'm used to calling him Blake Christian, so I got a little bit mixed up there. But that's the pre-show match. So they're trying to squeeze in as much beef as possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's still just only a six-match show.
Yes. Meanwhile, now, SummerSlam, 10 matches, which, oh boy.
I know, man. 10 fucking matches.
Potentially 9, and we'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we will, because that did potentially 9. You're right. All right, so you just knocked off an article, didn't you? Didn't you? You did. You did. Let me jump into one real quick. As if there wasn't enough podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm.
WWE and The Ringer are launching exclusive audio network on Spotify. So it's going to be kind of like Joe Rogan's thing. The Ringer hosts a show that was called The Masked Man Show, by hosted by David Schumacher, however you want to pronounce that. It kind of depends on where you're from. and the other guy's name is Kaz, will rebrand to the Ringer Wrestling Show. And they're going to continue on the same feed, and they're just going to start basically jumping in, talking wrestling. So we are going to have a basically a podcast channel off of Spotify. This makes me happy we're backing off, because, I mean, talk about a sad, I mean, oversaturated genre, wrestling, dude.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm sure that they'll be allowed to give their full-fledged, honest, unbiased opinions, considering who they're working for and with.
Oh, of course.
I can just imagine somebody just in the middle of a Raw review getting a red dot placed on their chest. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This gender segment was great. I love gender. Gender's the best.
Just sitting center mass right there. Mm-hmm. Just sitting there. So, yeah. There we go. Looks like WWE is going to have their own channel over there, like I said, on Spotify. Awesome. Just more podcasts. More podcasts. But I'm sure we'll see a lot of, I don't know, I'm sure we'll see a lot of the guys on there. I don't know if it's going to be video. Spotify is audio only, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Spotify is audio only.
All right, so there you go. That's going to be Spotify now. Mark, we can tie these two stories together a little bit. MLW has rescheduled a return to action due to COVID-19 surge. The War Chamber, which was actually scheduled to take place September 11th. Not sure why you would do a call a War Chamber on September 11th.
Yeah, that's a silly.
Just digest that for a moment. Just the name of the event was supposed to be War Chamber on September 11th. 20 years. Anyway. It was supposed to be right here in at the Sports Center, the Nitech Sports Center, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth area. I don't even know where that is, to be honest with you. But they are now moving it because they're saying that there is a rise in COVID cases, especially in the Texas area. Smart, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, but here we go. Yes.
Why is it suddenly all about just the cases?
Literally.
Literally, a year ago, it was all about deaths. It's all we saw every day. This many deaths, death, 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 death. Now it's just cases. Probably because if you go into deaths, Texas is down there with Florida in the middle of the fucking list.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, can you explain that by any chance?
I mean, I get it. If there's more cases being reported in one state, city, what have you, versus some of the other ones, I don't think I would necessarily want to risk my talent or fans being exposed if there's a higher risk in, let's say, just like in Fort Worth versus somewhere in like San Francisco or something. You know, who knows?
I'll tell you the truth. The fact that they canceled and didn't just reschedule to go somewhere else is more admirable, in my opinion.
I don't know if they have the resources, honestly. Like, I don't know if they can do a sharp pivot the way that, like, an AEW, WWE, or, like, we talked about Ring of Honor could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you got to book a building, and then you got to sell tickets, and well, that becomes a thing.
They've already rescheduled this show for March 31st, 2022. And any tickets you had to this show, keep them. They'll be honored at the next show.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And actually MLW noted in today's announcement, since July, the number of coronavirus patients in North Dallas continues to climb, with hospitals and ICUs on the brink of capacity. The greater Dallas-Fort Worth area has been hit hard by the latest wave of the COVID-19 outbreak. So there you go. Like I said, I at least respect them for canceling and not just being like, we're going to move it to New York. With the highest, one of the highest death rates per capita from COVID. At least they didn't do that. I would have had a laugh. I would have had a laugh at that point.
But there you go. Also, what's kind of interesting is we just got done watching Rampage in Chicago Friday. a mask mandate was put into place in Chicago for all like public areas and whatnot. So that's why you're seeing perhaps more masked people than you would have normally seen, or you've been normally seeing the last couple episodes of Dynamite and the first episode of Rampage. So there you go. That's another interesting thing. Now, if you want to watch back and see how many people actually had the mask down on their chin, that was a fun thing that I was noticing throughout the show.
Oh, yeah.
As it is indeed shot time.
It is shot time. My wife just brought it in. Up.
Cheers. Cheers. Everybody at home. In. Yes. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Thank you, babe. Oh, good stuff. As I continue to sit here and drink beer. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And I know, trust me, I know this pandemic is fucking ridiculous. It is. But I got to tell y'all something. It ain't going away. It's not going away.
No.
Ever. Ever. I'm sorry. It's just not. You can, oh, it'll be gone in a couple of, no, it won't. Is the flu gone? Is the common cold gone? Is fucking cancer gone? No.
There you have it.
Once again, Chris Rock might have a goddamn point. The money isn't in the cure, it's in the treatment.
That's it.
So, I don't know. I mean, now they're recommending you get a third shot.
Mm-hmm.
You going to get the third one, Mark?
We'll see. I don't know, maybe. I mean, it's just a matter of when those become available. I'd have to do more research. I've seen that they're recommending, and I've seen people saying that they've already gotten their third one, but we'll see. We'll see.
I went to Walmart on the way home from work, and they had a little booth set up and said you can get your first, second, or third shot with us right here. So some places already doing, and that, and this is in on the way through. There's a, obviously, usually when you go to little hick towns, there's a little big town before you hit the small towns. This is in the big part of town, so but not a big city. I mean, it's Lucas, Texas, which is not a big city at all. So that Walmart is doing them right now, so you might want to look into Walmart, CVS, and maybe even Walgreens.
Yeah. No, I've got mine done at CVS. I don't know. It's not like it's that much better, if at all, but I just, I don't know. I don't trust Walmart with doing my, any sort of thing that involves my long-term, potentially long-term health.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and the fact that they're saying now that, well, it doesn't really stop you from spreading the disease. It's like, wait a minute. So why did you stick a needle in my arm?
Right.
For a third time now. But anyway, I really don't want to get into it again. The chat room is overwhelmingly pro-choice when it comes to the vaccine. And I agree with them.
There you have it, yes.
I agree with them. So just want to throw that out there. They did, like I said, they didn't reschedule. Well, I mean, they did reschedule. Let's not bullshit it. They're rescheduled, but it's for a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what variant will be on by then. So anyway, hit it up, Smart.
Well, let's just stay in this pleasant situation for a little while longer.
We can tie these two together.
Good friends at WrestlingNewsSource.com. This was in relation to a show that happened Sunday, but it is still sort of, or it happened on the 15th rather, but it's still ongoing. New Japan Pro Wrestling put out a press release announcing that due to COVID-19 protocols, several of their stars will be unable to appear at today's event. Of course, this was for the 15th. The stars being taken out are Tetsuya Naito, Evil, Sonata, Yujiro, Takahashi, Gato, Dick Togo, Shingo Takagi, and Bushi. Shingo Takagi, of course, is their champion. So that's multiple people. Some of their biggest stars, and of course, and like I just said, Naito was at the beginning of the list. Their world champion, Shingo Takagi, is on that list. It is a we've talked about it countless number of times because of various injuries and COVID situations, outbreaks in the Olympics. It's just, this year as a whole has been an absolute fucking nightmare for New Japan, in Japan specifically.
Yeah, the Olympics, I mean, even though they weren't, you know, fans in the stands at the Olympics, it was still a lot of people in town, tons of Olympians over there, over that way. And you got to remember, this is also a country that was very locked down and has been wearing masks for years.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like you said, there was no fans for the Olympics, but they had already moved their shows before that with the anticipation that they were going to have the Olympics proceed as normal. So a lot of their shows got shifted. They had some injury problems. Will Ospreay won their title and then had to vacate it almost immediately because of a neck injury. He was on the New Japan Strong pay-per-view Saturday, which is pretty cool because he's in the States now. So he's going to be presumably showing up at some other locations too. It was a really good promo because he comes out there and he says, you know, the whole big thing that they're doing right now is they're gearing up for their G1 Climax tournament. That's big thing. It leads to Wrestle Kingdom. Whoever wins that gets a title shot. But anyways, he's talking about how he's not going to be there for the tournament. He's going to be in the US and fans start chanting AEW. And he says, quote, fuck AEW. There's a gasp, and he says, what are they going to do? They're not going to do shit. And I was just like, he basically cut a very like Conor McGregor-esque promo. He brought the belt that he won. He claims to be the real world champion a la Ric Flair. It was a really interesting sort of moment. So that was kind of cool. And I guess he could be showing up in other places. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. Sounds pretty damn cool right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think I had sent this to you, but my personal hero from the Matt Man podcast, old Andrew Zarian, is saying that he has heard from one of his sort of harem of anonymous sources that old Bryan Danielson wants a match with Will Ospreay. So we'll see if anything comes of that.
Oh, look at that. Old Bryan Danielson. Go ahead, Smart.
Sure. Let's go ahead and transition into something else here. Keep the AEW theme rolling, I guess. We just saw, of course, we started off the show with the return of CM Punk, and it says Fightful spoke with multiple people involved with Warner Media and TNT, who spoke of the excitement of bringing in CM Punk and noted that he will have their promotional machine behind him upon his return. TNT and Warner Media were both, quote, very aware of this. TNT were very impressed by AEW running four shows over a few weeks in the same market and selling the way that they did. TNT were thrilled about the United Center / Chicago Bulls tie-in.
I can't blame them.
I do kind of appreciate that they said that they're going to be putting their promotional machine behind him, as though like the alternative would be like, you know what, we're not going to promote this guy at all. Fuck him.
Yeah, screw this motherfucker.
But I mean, yeah, it's all over. It's all over the old social media. I'm seeing there's a thing that the Chicago Blackhawks put out that says, welcome home at CM Punk. You were missed. #AEWandTNT. So they're getting like these major sports leagues. I'm sure Cubs will probably put something out there too. Maybe even something the Bears. We'll see. So I mean, this is good to have. You know, the kind of attention that they have upon them. It's interesting.
Oh yeah, I'll bet tonight's ratings for the first, you know, quarter of that show are going to be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So man, there's going to be so much hype for the next few shows coming up. I mean, Dynamite's going to do well. CM Punk, once again, they already announced him, which was fucking brilliant.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, I don't know, man. All right, another one for you.
Yeah, we'll keep the same thing rolling since we're already there. This is Eric Bischoff on AEW, quote, now they're breaking a million. Now they're bringing in some big names. Once you create momentum over a long period of time, it is impossible to fuck it up. I suppose if anybody knows about building momentum and the potential to fuck it up, it would be one Eric Bischoff.
Well, and he said it's almost impossible to fuck it up.
Yes, it's almost impossible to fuck it up. Almost is a very important keyword there.
Very important keyword. WCW was breaking a million, and they brought in some big names, and they had momentum. 83 weeks, the podcast he probably said this on, of momentum. And then Mike Tyson came in. And y'all were fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And you stayed fucked. And then Vince bought you. So, I'm not saying it's going to happen to AEW. I think they're doing a little more smarter business than Bischoff did. They're not dumping bazillions of, you know, money into contracts like, you know, it was rumored that that's exactly what WCW was doing. So I don't know. And impossible to fuck it up. not in 2021, not with social media. Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Any little thing you do, nah, you just can't do it. It's just not going to happen. Everyone who hates it is still going to hate it. There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, for sure, yes. There's a legion of fans that are sort of influenced by certain old-timey wrestler stereotypes that are telling them that it's the worst thing ever, and they're not going to give it a shot, or they're going to give it a very small shot.
Right.
And be like, yeah, see, I told you it sucked. So it is what it is there on that front. I think they're doing a little bit better than WCW in the sense that they're not paying Horace Hogan to wrestle or sit at home. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a step in the right direction if ever there were. By the by, real quick here, you mentioned Mike Tyson. It's being reported by The Sun that WWE, quote, failed to reach a deal for boxing legend Mike Tyson to do SummerSlam voiceover work for Roman Reigns versus John Cena. So that's kind of interesting. He appeared for AEW a couple months ago. So it's a little bit of an interesting kind of sign of things, I guess.
A little bit, but it seems like they're willing to work with people who are going on that show, just as long as you're not a, you know, contracted talent, which is smart because you can't take contracted talent.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's anytime it's a celebrity, as much as they'll get in bed with pretty much any celebrity, they always have and they always will on that front.
Very true. Very true. They will, and you're right. They always have and they always will. So, but I love seeing Bischoff chime in on things like this, knowing, you know, I mean, do you think we forgot?
I do wonder, like, for him, if there's, like, and I don't think he'll end up being involved in anything, but I wonder if he ever just starts getting that itch or just starts thinking, like, what if it was me? What if I was in this situation? Because it seems like, you know, they're in a bit of a better situation than at least the end of WCW he was in.
You're right. And yeah, I'm sure that goes through his mind all the time. I'm sure he thinks back a lot saying, I wish I didn't do this. I wish I didn't do that. I mean, he said before, one thing he wished he never created the cruiserweight division. It pigeonholed a lot of guys. You know?
Which, I get what he's saying on that front, but if you could have had him, you could have done both. You just had to have done a better job of, like, presenting them as, you know, an actual, you know, credible competitors and not just sort of like a sideshow act on your show almost, or just having them be destroyed by big guys anytime they would interact.
Yeah. I mean, definitely you could have, but, you know, I think it's admirable that he can look back and go, holy shit, I fucked this up, I fucked that up, and own it, but.
Right. Oh, yeah, there's that element, too, I hadn't considered, but you're absolutely right of just admitting some of the things he did wrong and not just placing the blame on other people or just the talent themselves and being like, well, it's the cruiserweight's fault because nobody wanted to watch him. It's like, yeah, that's not true.
Yeah, and you got to remember, Bischoff never got out of the television business.
Mm-hmm.
He never did. He's still in the television business. I don't know if him and Hervey have any shows on right now, but they had that reality motorcycle show on television with the biker gang, and he's still doing television. He's just been in the business for a long time, so maybe he's learned from the mistakes he made over at WCW. I would figure he did. And he's got Jason Hervey with him, who's been acting since the fucking 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kid, I mean, I know everyone knows him from the Wonder Years as Fred Savage's brother, excuse me. But no, he was in fucking Big Top Pee Wee's Big Adventure. He had a part in that movie. He was in so many movies. He was young Rodney Dangerfield in Easy Money.
There you go.
Was it Easy Money? It was Easy Money. So
now, where does he link up with Kevin Bacon, though?
Let me think here for a minute.
Mm.
With Kevin Bacon, he'd be in, let's see, what is another movie that he was? Oh, I'd have to pull it up to figure that one out. Because that kid's been in so many fucking movies.
I mean, honestly, I got to admit, I was impressed by just your ability to recall what you've already done. Because if it were to be me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, he was in that thing with that guy. And then I would have to look it up.
No, I know he did. He had a quick thing in Pee Wee's, A Big Adventure. He was a bratty kid. I know, you know, he was in the, what was the second one I said?
Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
No, that was the first one I just mentioned. Young Rodney Dangerfield and Easy Money, but he showed up in a lot of stuff, a lot of things, that kid. So, I'm sure he knows the movie and television business very well. So he's got a good partner, and it's just hard to think that same kid is now, doing stuff with Eric Bischoff and did a lot of things with TNA also. But Bischoff's just it's very weird to hear him making statements like that. Oh, once you create momentum over a long enough period of time, it's almost impossible to fuck it up. It almost should be in fucking capital letters there.
Mm-hmm.
Bischoff, it should have been. You had some of the greatest talent in WCW. You really did. And somehow you just pissed it all away. I know it's not all his fault when the AOL deal went down, blah, 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 whatever. Still, if you weren't dumping money into contracts like you were, they might not have fucking looked at it as this, money, just sucking money out of the fucking company. They might not have looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm. I wonder a little bit what kind of their WCW business model has done to kind of help influence what we're seeing now with AEW, just as a cautionary tale, some of the things that you should avoid, and then some of the things that you actually did right.
He talks about all that stuff, though, but again, it's weird hearing Bischoff make all these comments, and again, knowing what happened to WCW. So anyway. We'll roll on from that. Let me jump into one here. So I'm not sure if you sent me this or I pulled it up. Logan Paul. Did you give me the Logan Paul one?
No, that was all you.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you did. They did announce tonight Logan Paul's coming on back. He's going to be on the Raw segment, Moist TV, with John Morrison. I can't believe they're using this Moist thing.
It's working for them. I mean, the fans are getting behind them.
Awesome. They are. You're right. You're right.
I'll give him all the credit in the world. Some of it's a little bit silly, and I don't enjoy all the segments that he does, but that man's buzzing his ass right now. In the ring, in the segments, like, say what you will about the material sometimes, but he is doing the absolute best that he can with what he's given.
I think he always has, man. Mm-hmm. I like Morrison. I think he's always out there, giving it his all and kicking ass when he can. So I like the guy. I've always done some shitty movies. Who cares? Getting hot in here. Got to turn the fan on. Fucking dying.
Boone the Bounty Hunter. I don't know. I heard that was all right. Like, I mean, it's not fucking Casablanca, but, whatever. It seems like it was a pretty fun action movie from what I've heard.
Sure, if you say so.
I only saw like one review and it seemed like it was just kind of decent. Like, it wasn't absolute shit. Like, it wasn't like The Marine 5, but it wasn't, whatever your favorite action movie of choice might be.
Speaking of movies, that the Cena's got another movie coming out straight to Hulu, a Hulu original movie. So what was it? Vacation Friends or something like that?
Yep. I think that's exactly what it's called. Vacation Friends.
Actually looked kind of funny. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, he does comedy. He does comedy well.
Actually look kind of funny. I kind of might want to check that out. All right. So, Mark, you got two more. I got one more. Hit one up.
It's a two more. Ah, okay, folks. We're just going to go ahead and keep this theme rolling because I think the other one I have kind of leads into other things. So from one former WCW person to another, says, quote, "I was at a table. Arn was there. Malenko was there." This is Conan speaking, by the way. I'm not going to do an accent because that would be offensive. "Mark Henry was there. They were just burying WWE. At the end, Malenko told me that Johnny A said, 'Hey, man, I'll do this one. Hey, man, I heard that you want to quit. Why don't you think about it?' Malenko said, 'Yeah, I've been thinking about it for 19 years. I quit.' And that is how Dean Malenko quit WWE, according to old K-Dog."
I love it. I think that's great. And I mean, 19 fucking years this guy thought about quitting and stayed at that fucking... That goes to show you that some guys just are born and bred to just get that check.
It made me laugh because we've talked about how sort of the overwhelming kind of sense of logic there is to prepare to be fired from the day you got there. Seems like Malenko was just prepared to quit from the day he got there. He was like, I'm already sick of this shit, and I just got here.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But all right, looks like Sasha Baron Corbin said the Rampage was meh. I mean, again, Sasha Baron Corbin, after Punk came out, what the fuck were you going to do?
They're in an interesting position, I think, because we were talking about this in the Mixler chat, but like, as oversaturated as things are, I'm kind of glad that it's not 2 hours, but with it being 1 hour, it's kind of hard, especially on a night like tonight, where you have the first segment is 20 minutes of talking, to have three matches, to have any sort of time for them to build and tell any sort of form of a story. It just seemed like there was just a little bit too much planned.
Maybe, but I mean, it's a 1 hour show. You're going to cram all you can into it. And they had to bring Punk out, man. They had to do it. It was great. I mean, they teased it so much. Again, if they didn't, the fucking place was going to be on fire.
Oh no, I'm not at all saying that they shouldn't have had that he is the star of the show. I would have been fine with them giving him just the entire fucking hour to regale everyone with tales of why he quit and why he's back and all of this, that, and third. But I feel like you kind of, and I think it's part of the fact that, you know, their TV show is 2 hours, Dynamite's 2 hours, and then for everything else, they sort of have unlimited time because they have two YouTube shows that they can go for as long as they want, theoretically. I think they're kind of still getting used to trying to balance a 1 hour show versus a 2 hour show. And it seemed like they kind of painted themselves in the corner and they just booked a little bit too much. Maybe if they were to only have two matches or even just like one match that got to go for a lengthy period of time, probably would have been a little bit better suited than having three matches that you're trying to shoehorn into 40 minutes.
Yeah. I see where you're going, but again, man, you knew this was going to be that kind of show because you knew the only thing people wanted to see is if it was going to be Punk. And again, if it wasn't, that place would have fucking, they would have gone Afghanistan and that motherfucker.
And I say this as somebody who is a native and who dearly loves the city, but the idea of a lot of just like chubby people windedly throwing shit makes me laugh. Because I mean, the food is very good, and the subsequent penalty of that, so there's not a lot of in shape people around those ways. So it'd be very funny to watch just winded people who look like me, I should say, for clarity. I'm not trying to be on a high horse here, but people who look like me throwing shit through windows would be pretty funny.
SBC said I should have had a boxing career.
That's a good point.
Nah. Yeah, Dirk's right. I am 6'2". I would have been okay at boxing.
Yeah, you know, you got the reach.
I do, I guess. My martial arts instructor always said I was very fast. I have fast hands. So there was that positive. But anyway. It seems like a lot of guys tell this story. Oh, I had been thinking of quitting for years. Oh, I wanted to leave for years. Yeah, it shows sometimes. On some people, it does show. Let's be honest. How many times did we say when, you know, I'm going to call him Dean Ambrose because we were talking about him at that point. Dude looks like he doesn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to find out, he didn't want to be there.
I mean, they do. There's such an interesting, just, I don't know, way that they do things. That just like they break people. Like just hearing the way that people talk when they leave the company is just like, and like even like, you know, Jack Swagger, Jake Hager, however you want to call him, was just like basically saying that he was just like totally depressed while he was there. I mean, that's not really something to laugh about, but like just everybody, like even the people who don't necessarily talk or, you know, they're not online on social media all the time, or just they're even stepping forward and being like, yeah, it was a real shitty time. And I mean, like, I think we're seeing, you know, with Andrade right now, he's working himself out of that funk because they put him in that match with Matt Sydal. It was supposed to be like his showcase. Everybody was talking about how much better Matt Sydal looked in that match than he did. And then, you know, you had the match with Ric Flair, Triple Mania, and people were saying that it was good, but it wasn't necessarily what had been hyped up to be. So it looks like he's kind of trying to get his sea legs back about him. And just every, I mean, you know, like you talked about with Ambrose Moxley now, you know, he put out a couple of different statements of just being like, he didn't know if the people would be behind him anymore. He didn't know if he could still muster the ability to cut the promos the way that he does now. You know, it just, it fosters like sort of lack of self-confidence in their former employees, unless you're somebody like a Chris Jericho that just can naturally, you know, come up with it from anywhere. There's, you just, people don't believe in themselves and they have to like figure out how to be themselves again, almost like learn how to walk again.
Right. There you go. It seems like a very demoralizing place to work at. And again, the fact that guys go into WWE just literally sitting there like from day one, like, I just want out of here now. What did I do wrong? Oh, nothing. You just signed with a, you know, you signed with your dream company. Why? Mm-hmm. Why did I sign with my dream company?
I feel like my absolute favorite of just like things that have happened recently with releases is we talked about the NXT people that they fired. They fired two people that were going to be on 205 Live. Like the night of, they fired him like an hour before the 205 episode aired. And I mentioned him earlier, but Ari Sterling put out a tweet of just like him watching. They show the screen and he's like coming out and they cut to him like watching in real time. And he's making like the uh-oh face and just like pulling at his collar and just rolling his eyes. He's like, well, never mind that, huh? I enjoyed that. That was fun.
Nice.
Sasha Baron Corbin here says that the possibilities are endless for CM Punk matches. CM Punk versus Goldust, Big Show, and Luke Gallows. How about that?
Wow. He did say that he wanted to work with some of the young talent there. And that means he's not there to win. He's there to do... He's ready to be another Jericho.
Yes and no. I mean, I feel like, yeah, he will put over some of the younger talent, but you still have to, like Jericho, have him win some of these big matches too, so he's not just out there losing all the time. And, you know, if you have somebody that loses all the matches, it doesn't matter when somebody beats him. So you have to sort of have that give and take balance.
Yeah,
probably
will.
The same thing with Danielson when he comes in.
Punk will. I got no doubt about that. I think they're gonna do some smart booking with him. We will see. But on the heels of Punk, AEW is announcing another major acquisition. I don't know who that could be.
Well, I mean, we just talked about it, and I know that you pretty much just... Actually, you kind of straight up said you don't give a fuck. But after SummerSlam, Adam Cole is a free agent and would be available to appear on Dynamite the next week.
It's Brock Lesnar.
You say that as a joke, but you did mention that they got rid of the Paul Heyman trademark.
I did, but Paul is still there.
This is true.
Paul is still there. Unless we see tomorrow night, Paul does something to cost Rome. Ooh, that would be beautiful. Paul Heyman does something, causes Roman the title, and turns face with Cena.
And besides, I mean, Brock Lesnar, I mean, and I'm not saying that it's actually going to happen. I'm not trying to be that person, be like, yeah, it's for sure going to happen, bro. But, like, dude's a mercenary. I don't feel like he's loyal to anyone but himself and trying to get paid. I don't blame him for that. But I feel like if the number's right, he'll show up anyway.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think if anybody did the little thing that I just talked about, it's going to be Brock to come back and, you know, beat the shit out of somebody. So, all right, we got one more story, Smark, and then, if you don't mind, I'd like to take a pee break and then get back here. I asked my wife for a bigger cup. Like, you know, I had one of those, that metal cup that I used to carry.
I'm not sure I like where this is going, but please proceed.
She bought me this, Smark. I know you can see this. This is a Stanley brand cup. It is a 64-ounce metal cup.
Yes, for those who cannot see this, basically just picture Too Cold Scorpio. It's that level of
So if you hear that, I put my cup down. This Sunday, it's a half a gallon, but it is fucking awesome. I've had four of these today.
Oh, boy.
It was, again, man, it was so fucking hot in the goddamn warehouse. It was so fucking hot today. And we did the move last weekend, so I worked all weekend. I had no day off. And I'm just, yesterday it was catching me. It was really catching up to me yesterday. I was exhausted. 8 o'clock, my wife fucking woke me up again, put me to bed. 8 o'clock. I don't fucking go to sleep at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like my birthday was a few weeks ago. Now I'm fucking exhausted. But I'm also doing a shitload right now. But, you know, we're in there and we're still cleaning up because, you know, you move stuff into a warehouse. It's just ridiculous. So I'm exhausted. And I drank a lot of water today. Anyway, let's get into your little Seth Rollins things, Mark. And we will go from there, take a quick break, then get back. We will do quick predictions, knockout SmackDown. And I think we're good.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, so this is Seth Rollins on shoot comments being used in promos. Quote, there's nothing Roman Reigns is going to say in the ring that 6,000 people on Twitter haven't said to me in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because I don't think Roman Reigns has ever just said, like, I want to fuck your wife.
Oh, maybe.
Because that's probably what about 4,000 or so of the tweets that he's getting are.
I'm sure some of them. Now, I can see what he's saying here. Because, you know, with Twitter or even Facebook, people have said pretty much everything to say. Which is one of the reasons we are talking less and less about, you know, Raw and NXT. By the time we come on, it's kind of pointless. Things have been said by, you know, 60,000 podcasts already that, you know, you've heard at least 8 or 9, 5, 6, 3, 4 of them already. Nothing we can say that you haven't already heard. So I can see what he's saying here. And Roman Reigns, as much as, I mean, it's not like they're giving him bullet points. He's going out there saying what he wants. He's saying what's written for him. Roman Reigns is a company guy. So is Cena. I just think Cena, they have more faith in going out there and cutting a promo than a Seth Rollins, which I don't get. Rollins is great on the mic. So I could see it, but I also see that he's just trying to build a fucking storyline here also. It's kind of a kayfabe comment.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of like the idea of just like kind of pointing it out there that, you know, these people are saying all these things. These people know these things and people are commenting. And like, you know, the fans know more now than they have, or at least they think they do, or, you know, they get more information, whether it's true or not. So just the idea that you're sort of acknowledging the fourth wall. You're breaking the fourth wall at times. You're making things seem a little bit more reality driven. I feel like that always helps because that always makes it a lot more enjoyable to watch and sort of more believable and palatable and enjoyable than just like the sort of arbitrary lines that they create where you can't mention this, you can't mention that. If like they're putting more things and more things are on the table, they're less restricted. That creates better promos, I feel like.
Yeah, and Seth even says in this article that most of his stuff that he does is bullet pointed. He goes out there, grabs a mic, says what he wants. He has a pretty good idea of what he wants to say. If true, I think, and I think it is, if you heard Rollins tonight out there, he was actually interacting with the crowd. You know, they were chanting. They were fucking screaming, we want Edge. And yeah, you already got Edge, blah, blah, blah. So I do believe that his promos are not as scripted as most people. So that's good. And he said, you know, almost never anything's written on a piece of paper unless they hand me something that I have to promote or have to say. So basically he's saying he's kind of got a free reign, which I think is good. But again, back to the Roman Reigns statement he made, I think it was mostly in kayfabe, but yeah, kind of, yeah, of course, there's not much Seth Rollins can say that people, you know, haven't said on the internet 6,000 times already.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, there's nothing new anymore. There's nothing original anymore. you can compare it to this. People compare everything to this and that. And, oh, the Attitude Era, it's just, it's just bullshit. I think I might have started rambling and lost my way there.
It happens to me a lot, to you less often, but it happens to all of us. Anyway, I mean, we started talking about Adam Cole and then spent 20 minutes talking about people posting nude photos on OnlyFans. So, I mean, on topic isn't necessarily a specialty around these parts.
No, no. And I'm kind of not even worried about reining it back in. Mm-hmm. But, suddenly I'm having an echo. Did you hear that?
I did not, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Good, because suddenly I just had a real echo of myself in my ear.
I just saw, I will post it here in the Mixler, the gentleman crying. And I was like, this was more than I thought it would be, the gentleman crying during CM Punk's return. Like, I figured maybe there was like a tear or two where he was just like particularly moved to be there. Because, I mean, this is a sold-out crowd. There's a lot of very emotional people. So it's like, all right, yeah, I get it. This guy is crying and reaching his hand out as though it were 2000 and he was an overweight white woman at a Boys to Men or NSYNC concert. Backstreet Boys was what I was looking for. But Boys to Men works as well. It's the same type of music.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this was an adult man, and he was crying for joy and not terror.
Dude, did you ever see that? Did you ever see
that? That was crafted. I'm gonna take a victory lap. It was.
But if you ever saw that Michael Jackson video, they were dragging grown men out of there, passed out from seeing Michael Jackson on stage.
Mm-hmm.
On stage. So let me check this out here. Let me check this out. Let me pull this bad boy up here. We've got. Oh yeah, I mean, face full of tears. What? You went low for a second there.
Oh, yeah. He was just reaching his hand.
No, you're really low. Did I do something?
I don't know.
No, you just, like, dropped completely almost. Hold on. I didn't touch anything. It's not me. Like, I can still hear you, but barely. Yeah, you want to go ahead and go to the break and fix that?
I think I got it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Lower yourself, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, you know. No happy mediums here.
That's better. That's better. Let's go back to that picture one more time. One more time. Where was it? Let me kind of remind myself here. Yeah, the poor guy is just... I mean, look, you know what, Smark? It's still real to him, goddammit.
I feel kind of bad for this guy. I do and I don't. Because, like, I feel like if he paid money for this ticket, like, he's going to be there's all kinds of retweets and likes and whatnot. This is going to be shared all over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, that kind of thing. So this guy is going to be mildly famous for a day or two. But at the same time, everybody's taking turns to dunk on this guy. So it's like, this poor guy paid a lot of money, because those tickets are not cheap. He's getting himself out there. He's going to be all over the internet, but it's also going to be just everybody making fun of him. So it's like, that's an unenviable position to be in.
Looks like he's reaching out to God.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we're on a mission from Gad.
I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to defend this guy. I'm working on a defense as we speak, but it gets emotional, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and so as you blow past the Blues Brothers reference,
I got to admit, this might be blasphemy from where I'm from.
No, don't even say it. Don't say it. Don't say you've never seen Blues Brothers.
I've seen it. I don't enjoy it as much as other people do.
The original one is so good.
I think it was all right. I don't think it was great, but it was good. But it doesn't have the same reverence to me that like an Airplane does.
Thank you, Weebs. Oh, love Airplane. Love it.
Fucking Weebs coming out of nowhere to take turns piling on. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
There you go. Now, since Weebs just got here, I apologize. We're going to take a quick pee break. I'm going to go pee. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to come back. And I swear I'm not going to stop the show right after. I'm not doing that again. I am a little buzzed, but I still have to pee. So we are going to go ahead and rock some music for you guys for just a second here. And I will be back in just a couple of minutes with Smart. All right. See you soon. right. Whew. As usual, I had to do that. Had to be done, folks. Nature called, and I answered. I did. So, all right, let's drop this music down. Let's hit pause, and let's get into some predictions, Mark. Do you find...
Actually, did I not send you...
What? Did we miss one? Talk about it, man. Go ahead, just talk about
well,
it.
Well, it's... I want to get the exact fucking thing. We'll talk about it as it comes up, but we'll do the predictions, and then I'll pop it in because it's related to the card.
You didn't... I'm looking at... We got through everything you sent me.
Well, shit. I don't know. I guess I forgot to copy it. I'll get it anyways. There's a bit of an extra present. You haven't unwrapped all your gifts yet.
There's
an extension of Christmas here.
Woo-hoo! I'm liking this already. All right. Now, we've got SummerSlam tomorrow, and we've got NXT on Sunday. A little confusing. I'm thinking... I hate to tell you this. I'm thinking WWE doesn't want to go up against NXT because takeover shows kill what WWE has to offer.
Yes, by and large, they tend to do. And I mean, it's a pretty big card that they've got.
Dude, I see three matches on here right now that are like, holy shit, this is going to be fucking amazing. So let's, you want to do SummerSlam first or NXT first?
I guess we can go sort of canonically if you want to do that, or we can go with NXT first, but right, either
well,
way.
We'll go ahead and knock out SummerSlam. It's the 10-match card. So, now, I'm wondering, one of these matches is going to be pre-show. One of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, you know, I would say the Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie, but due to backlash, I'm going to say the Usos versus Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio end up being the pre-show match.
Yeah, I think so too. And not even just for backlash, just for the matter of they don't care about tag titles, A, and B, they've already done this match a bunch of times already.
Yeah, could be either one. So, all right, I'm going to start down here at the bottom of the list on Wiki. We've got the Raw WWE Tag Team Championships up for grabs. AJ Styles and Omos versus RK-Bro. Is it time for RK-Bro to win it, Smart?
Yeah, it makes the most sense, but I don't see it happening. It's because it makes sense. That's the whole thing. Okay. As they've had them kind of... Not Orton, but Riddle. They've had Riddle kind of job out to them, and now Orton's coming back, and they're a team again. And it's supposed to be a big triumphant moment for them, and the fans are behind them, and all this, that, and the third. So if ever there was a time to have them lose, it would be now, because everybody wants them to win. So you don't get what you want.
I know, but let's face it. What have AJ and Omos done with those fucking titles? What have they done? Really?
Oh, jack shit, nothing. But, I mean, Vince... loves big guys.
I get
that. He loves Orton too, so this is sort of a hard thing.
That's my point. Orton, Riddle, he thinks Riddle is funny. I'm going RK-Bro.
I'll go AJ and Almas, even though they shouldn't win. I'm going to say that they will anyway.
Yeah, I'm going RK-Bro. I gotta disagree on that one. I think it might be time to pull the trigger and give them the titles. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they're obviously going to try to split them up very soon, so.
Sure.
We got Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie with Doudrop. You think Doudrop's going to end up in this match, or will Eva Marie finally wrestle?
I'll go with Eva Marie being in there, I guess.
All right. I think I might agree with that. I think eventually she's going to walk away. Doudrop ends up in the match. But Alexa Bliss takes the win.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, singles match, nothing on the line, no big deal there. So why not give Alexa Bliss the win? Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. This is a singles match. Veer and Shanky are banned from ringside. Drew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on then. This is a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. It's Sheamus versus Damian Priest. I got to tell you, I'm kind of surprised they're still pushing Damian Priest. I almost like they forgot about him for a couple of weeks after that Bad Bunny thing, and then next thing you know, there he is, right back to where he was. So I'm happy for that.
Well, yeah, this is kind of like a offshoot of, because more than anything on Raw, he's still feuding with Miz and Morrison. This is sort of like a weird, unrelated, like sort of side mission for him. The Sheamus match, like, he hasn't really even factored into the feud all that much at all. He's just like, the most interaction they had, I think, was he was on commentary on Raw this week.
Yeah.
So they've done really pretty much nothing to build this up. They've instead decided to keep running a feud that's been going on for 7 months now. So there you go. I don't know. I guess Sheamus, I guess. I don't really know or care, but I'll go with Sheamus.
You got to give this to Priest.
You
should. And I'm going with what should happen. I'm going with Priest here, too. Going with Priest here. We got the singles match. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Great. Great. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Great promo by Edge tonight. I loved everything Edge did tonight, to be honest with you. And Rollins, just, we just talked about his mic work. I think Rollins is great on the mic. So there's one less thing to talk about on SmackDown. Edge versus Seth Rollins. Edge needing this so bad makes me think he needs to lose this. You know what I mean? It's kind of like one of those things. I don't think Edge is there to win matches yet. That could further the feud if he does. But I still think if Rollins wins, it can still further the feud. Either one of these guys that wins, the feud can continue. So that makes this pretty tough. How long is Edge back for? Not like his movie career went anywhere, or his acting career really went far. I'm gonna
his movie with Kelsey Grammer wasn't moving units.
It's still on Hulu. Money Plane, still on Hulu. I'm just gonna go with Rollins here. I really just the way it's going, I think you give it to Rollins here, and then what's the next pay per view? It's not Extreme. Is it Extreme Rules?
Could be. Is it? Yeah, I don't know.
I Rollins. Going with Rollins.
Yeah, I'll go with Rollins too. I'm gonna look up the pay per view schedule real quick and be because I think in October it's Hell in a Cell, but unless they already did. Yeah, I think they already did that this year.
All right. Yeah, I think so too. So we got the SmackDown Women's Championship singles match, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. There's absolutely zero zilch reason to take this off of Bianca Belair. And Sasha Banks just came back. This will actually build the feud, keep the feud going. Bianca Belair takes it, and thank God they stopped letting her do these PSA promos. She's back there cutting the "I can just fucking go out there and do the shit that I do" promos, and I so appreciate the fact that they ditched those things.
Extreme Rules from the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio, September 26th.
Extreme what?
Extreme Rules.
Oh, I was right?
Yes, you were right.
Motherfucker.
Do we have the trumpet solo prepared? Or I'm waiting for confetti to drop out of the sky. That was a rather boastful tone you took there. I wasn't disagreeing with you. I just said that I didn't know.
I did not think I was correct, but
It was a good call, though. I'll give you credit on that one. I had no fucking idea. But anyways, real quick, that was what I meant to talk about from PW Insider. This is everybody's pal, your personal pal there. I know how much you enjoy him. Mike Johnson. Old Mike Johnson. Sasha Banks is not at today's WWE Friday Night SmackDown taping in Phoenix, Arizona, and the word making the rounds is she may have been pulled from tomorrow's SummerSlam pay-per-view. Banks and Bianca missed this past weekend's WWE live events due to what was announced as, quote, unforeseen circumstances, but Belair traveled to Phoenix yesterday and is backstage at today's taping. Earlier this week, sources told PWI Insider, that would be redundant, that the pair was cleared to perform at SummerSlam, quote, barring something unforeseen happening. Belair is there. Banks is not. Cue the dramatic sting. If Banks is indeed out tomorrow, perhaps, okay, well, this is just speculation, but perhaps it could be for time for WWE to break the glass, so to speak, and rush Becky Lynch into action. That's not journalism. That's just a prediction, motherfucker. This is why people don't like you.
Well. Why is Sasha possibly out of the match?
Who knows?
I don't think she will be. I think this is much bullshit.
It is interesting, though, because she wasn't there Saturday. She wasn't there Sunday.
Ooh, let's start the pregnancy rumor.
And
let's do it.
What's kind of interesting is we talked a little bit about Ric Flair showing up at Triple Mania.
Oh, God. No,
Charlotte was there as well.
She was, correct.
But what's interesting, by the by, on that one is that also that Saturday, while Triple Mania was going on, and Charlotte was hanging out with Mexican legend Ric Flair, because that's what he is now, Mexican wrestling legend Ric Flair. There was a house show in Charlotte, North Carolina, where she was advertised for weeks as the main event. So people presumably paid money to see her, presumably were also told to go fuck themselves, card subject to change.
Yeah, they were offered
no
refunds. No, they were offered refunds. Stop that.
Oh, were they? Well, good
on that. Of course they were. WWE always does that. They used to do it with Cena. Oh, Cena's got the fucking flu and he's dying and he can't be here. If you came here just for Cena, get a refund. The people that get those refunds, seriously.
I picture just a guy standing in line at the box office wearing a replica belt.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the guys standing there. Probably a bunch of guys with replica belts on their shoulders standing there.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much the tickets were. Like, I would kind of do it just to be a scumbag, to tell you the truth.
Do you know who I am? I got a replica belt. I spent so much money with this company. I paid for your house.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking cunt. Anyway.
I'm saying, though, if I paid like $50 for it and I saw an opportunity to get that $50 back, I'd consider it.
Good God. We all know the fucking card can change.
This is true.
Stop this shit already. Who the fuck asked for refunds? Weird fucking assholes.
I also like the idea of the theme, the team name that Weebs is floating out here. Almost an AJ, flat earth dudes with attitude.
I like that.
I can see that on a t-shirt.
I do. I could too. Man, we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's move on here. Tag team match. WWE tag team.
It's tag time.
It's tag time, baby. Well, we should another T-shirt. Tag time, baby.
I'm sorry, that's kind of a decent name for a show.
It really is actually tag time. Anyway, this is for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships. It's the Usos, obviously Jimmy and Jay, versus Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic. Now him and his son Dominic Smark are at odds right now. Dominic's getting a little too big for his britches, if you will, to use an old Southern slang term. Getting a little too big for his britches. Wanting to go kind of too much too fast.
Yep.
Get a little cocky, as Kid Rock would say.
Essentially his 1 year anniversary, in a sense, because this is where he debuted last year.
Wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that little tidbit, Smark. I love when you spit facts like that. And after saying all that, I think the Usos take this one here. Keep it.
Yeah. I don't see this going anywhere. They want to keep the whole momentum going with the Roman storyline. So, yeah.
Well, I see Dominic once again trying to get, you know, help his dad win by cheating. It just seems like Dominic's the one that's going to turn heel here.
I've been watching this GIF of this guy crying for like the last 20 minutes and I need to close out the tab. It's oddly captivating.
Yeah, close that. So, all right, we got Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg for the WWE Championship. My God, please, Lashley. Please. Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to sit here and, you know, shit and piss on Goldberg. He'll do that himself in the ring. So let's just go with Bobby Lashley. Again, no reason to take that belt off of him. He's doing great at what he's doing. And I know they've backed off of him a little bit, but definitely Lashley. These last two are tough. I'm gonna go go out of order a little bit here. Nikki A.S.H. versus Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley.
Oh, no, this one's not tough at all.
Well, unfortunately, it's not. Triple threat for the Raw Women's Championship. I know they're giving it to Charlotte. Charlotte's pinning Nikki. Rhea's not getting pinned, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
That's my prediction, too. I don't think why spend time on it? We agree. Which brings us to Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Singles match for the WWE Universal Championship. Now, Smart, they added something tonight, which I think was a huge mistake.
Okay.
The stipulation they added is that if Roman Reigns loses, he'll leave WWE.
Okay.
I know, you know, we know, they're not letting Reigns go anywhere. Okay? They're not going to send him over to NXT and have this huge fucking storyline. Let's not fucking go there. This was like predicting a match for me. And I don't think we're getting a swerve. I don't think they're going to swerve you and Cena's going to find a way to win. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Reigns wins this match. And I kind of want to see domination out of Roman Reigns. I think Roman Reigns dominating John Cena the way Brock Lesnar dominated him in that one match where he just, you know, basically just whipped the shit out of him the whole time would be the ideal comeuppance for Roman Reigns. I think it would really solidify that character. If you know what I mean.
Is there any possibility that just, like, he loses and then, like, 2 weeks from now he comes back and says he didn't say how long he'd be gone for?
Is there a pot? Well, let's
because before they did this, I would have actually sort of put money in Cena winning, believe it or not, just for the sake of Ric Flair left and they're spiteful and petty people. So I could honestly see them not being able to resist the opportunity of just being like, all right, now is when we pull the trigger and erase you from the history books.
I'll take that in two parts. Is there a possibility of Reigns winning? 100%. I'm sorry, Cena winning 100%. Absolutely there is. 100%. Especially after the promo he got tonight where he promised he'd win. Babyfaces don't lie.
That's right.
They don't lie. Although Roman Reigns did say he retired The Undertaker for a whole year as The Undertaker came back to beat AJ. They made Roman Reigns a liar. That wasn't his fault. I'm not blaming Roman Reigns for that. So definitely there's a possibility of Cena winning this match, 100%. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it, and I think this stipulation was really stupid. I think you just telegraphed the match. You literally took a match with an incredible build. Really, it's been incredible. Roman Reigns has been saying some great things to Cena. Cena has been fucking slaying Roman Reigns on the mic. And once again, I'm not this person that, you know, is happy to see Cena back. He's been gone so long, it's good to have him back. Honestly, I don't give a shit that he's back. I really don't fucking care. I don't. But I liked a few things he said tonight in the promo. What did he say? I'm not coming here to promote movies. I'm coming here to demote you, your ass. I'm coming here to demote your ass is what he said.
That's his ass specifically.
Specifically. So I like all that, but man, they're not going to get rid of Roman. Although what you said would really be that's a heel move and a half. I didn't say how long I was going to leave for.
Because, I mean, yes, and I understand it's NXT and it's a whole different thing, but they literally just did a match where there's a stipulation involved that Indy Hartwell cannot be involved with Dexter Lumis, where Dexter Lumis to have lost, he lost, and they were dating each other the very next episode of NXT. So no. They give a fuck not about any stipulation.
No. The stipulation was that Dexter Lumis cannot pursue Indy Hartwell.
Okay.
He's not Indy Hartwell.
See, that that even goes more to my theory of them like focusing on semantics with this.
Wording is important in WWE.
Yes. Of him just, you know, even coming back the next week and being like, I didn't say how long I'd be gone. Like, I could definitely see that shit happen.
I could too. It'd be a great fucking move.
And I mean, with even Cena, like Cena had that match where he lost and he was supposed to be fired. And then he fucking like a week or two later, he comes back wearing a mask. So it's not like this is, well, a, you know, 100% set in stone. People will abide by the stipulation type of thing.
Funny you bring it up. That's what the whole Edge match is about. When, you know, Cena brought the authority back. But I still go with Reigns here. What do you, you haven't, you, all that, and you still haven't given a your prediction?
Fuck it, I'll go see, you know, why not? I don't believe that, but I feel like I painted myself into a corner. I just went 20-minute spiel on how Cena could win if I was like, hey, Roman's winning. That would be so anticlimactic, so I'm going to stick to my guns and say that Cena wins and that there's fuckery involved.
So let's face it, most of these matches are 50-50. You're going to be right or you're fucking not. There's nothing you can fucking do about it.
Mm-hmm.
50-50, so there you go. All right. All right, let's go ahead and jump into NXT. Then we hit SmackDown. Then we're out of here. NXT is quick predictions. 6 matches. They've already got the pre-show match announced. It is Trey Baxter versus Rich Holland. Smark, talk to me.
Rich Holland. Absolutely. Yeah. You have one big, tall, jacked guy and one guy small and skinny.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I'm going to bounce around a little bit here on this wiki thing here. LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes with Ted DiBiase. Singles match for the $1 million championship. If Grimes loses, Ted DiBiase must become LA Knight's butler, as we just saw with Cameron Grimes.
Mm-hmm. I will go Cameron Grimes in this one.
Yeah, me too. Most definitely. This is where his comeuppance happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we've been waiting for.
And it's just watching NXT the last 2 weeks, like, I'm worried about that guy's long-term health because his back has to be just absolutely in shambles having to fucking carry this show. It's like he's the only person that's out there cutting like good promos. He's the only person that has like any form of charisma. We've like gotten back to back like long droning Kyle O'Reilly promos, and it's just like, oh god.
Well, wait to the long droning match that we're gonna see with those two. All right, so we both agree Cameron Grimes on that one. We got a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai. Let's face it, I'm not going to sit here and say Raquel Gonzalez has lit the fucking, you know, belt on fire and is out there killing it as champion. But I also don't see Dakota Kai doing the latter either. So I think you keep it on Raquel just, again, for the point that there's no reason to take it off of her. You've got one championship, technically, but not a recognized championship. Probably going to change hands with the Cameron Grimes match. So, you know, I don't see any reason to take it off Raquel. I think she's been fine as champion. Not great. Like I said, she's not sitting there setting the fucking world on fire. But she's also not getting the opportunity to. And it's a fucking 2-hour show on 1 week. And that's all they can fucking do. So, Gonzalez for me.
Yeah, I will go Gonzalez too. The outside possibility that they have Dakota Kai win and they move Gonzalez up to the main roster.
I'd rather move Dakota Kai to the main fucking roster, but that's just me. With this, I mean, I
can see that too. Mm-hmm. I can see either of those happening, but I don't know. It seems like Dakota Kai or Raquel Gonzalez is a little bit more up Vince's alley.
Yeah, I got you. I see where you're going there. Let's see. I think we have 2 matches left here. Karrion Kross with Scarlett, they're saying, which that's not 100% sure. Versus Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship. Should Joe win? Yeah. Will Joe win? No. I don't think so. I think stupidly they're going to keep this belt on Cross. I mean, here's another one who's really done nothing with mm-hmm. it. If Scarlett doesn't come out with them, I don't know, man. I kind of want to just say Joe might actually win this because, oh, man, this one's tough, too. Because they've made it so, you know, with Karrion Kross getting the little tryouts, you know, and actually debuting on Raw one night, they could be thinking, all right, let's move him up. You know, whether the main buzz, unfortunately, was he's not with Scarlett, but there was buzz. You know WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck, I think I just talked myself out of Cross. I think actually they may switch this one to Joe. You haven't had a major title switch yet on this night, and I think this might be it. You know what? Fuck it, Joe.
Yeah, I was prepared to say Joe going into this, and I'm going to stay with it. There was a promo on NXT where you had Karrion Kross trying to sell how important this feud is. He had an altercation with Joe and whatever, and he was doing his best out there to cut a good promo. Meanwhile, the entire time, the crowd is chanting, "Where's Scarlett?" And I'm like, congratulations, you guys. You want, for whatever ungodly known reason, you wanted to turn him into Mark Marrow, and you did. Good job. Good work.
And those are paid fans.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to this last match, which I got to tell you, if I watch not one other match on this show, this will be the match I watch. Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. What? What happened?
A bonus prediction from Weaves here. Scarlett turns on Kross. Joe becomes Samoan submissive machine.
Oh, hell yes. I'm down.
Joe rocking a ball gag. I'm behind it.
Oh, my God. Scarlett coming out. I would love to see Scarlett coming out in a ball gag. Let's just stop this conversation right now before we have to take an unscheduled break. Yeah, NXT United Kingdom Championship singles match, Walter versus Ilya Dragunov. Again, if I watch no other match on this show, this is going to be the one that I watch. This match is going to fucking, I don't care when it comes on, it's going to fucking steal the show. Walter's had that title for a long time. Man, this is another one. This, now I'm thinking you keep the title on Cross and you switch this title because this is going to be a fucking match and a half. The chops in this match are going to be ridiculous. Dragunov is leaving with his chest damn near fucking bloodied from chops. I'm going to stick with Walter.
Yeah, it's hard to say. This one actually is a tough one because they've had him hold the belt for just an incredibly long time. They've said the exact number. I don't remember exactly, but it has been quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But then I could see them still having him keep doing that. But I will, just for the sake of making things interesting, I'm going to go with Dragunov, as is Dirk here in the chat.
All right. All right. That'd be nice. I would love that. I think it'd be nice to have a nice UK champion, but we've seen how they see that title. So, all right. Let's, I guess we can get into SmackDown and wrap it up. Man, we kind of touched on a lot of the things in SmackDown already. I mean, we touched on the Edge promo, the angry, evil, heavy-breathing Edge promo. Which I thought was a good way to start the show. I liked it. I thought it was a great promo by Edge, and I thought Rollins' response was just as good. Again, he's out there. The crowd is chanting, "We want Edge," and he's like, "He's had his time. God damn it!" I like that. I thought that was cool shit. Again, you know, back to the article we said where he says he's not really getting a script; he's getting bullet points. I really feel that they should do that for everyone, and you either sink or you swim. You go out there and you fucking cut the best promo you can. Writers, great. That's fine. You want to keep the writers, fine. The promos, though, they really need to stop writing those promos the way they do.
Yes, absolutely.
They do. And you know what? If you can't cut a promo, you can't fucking cut it. You don't have the it. That Triple H was just fucking talking about a little while ago in that fucking video we were playing. You don't have the it. if you can't go out there and cut a fucking bullet point promo. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you just don't. I don't give a fuck if you got to write it on your arm like The Rock did and Cena called him out for. I would rather you do that than go out there and cut this scripted bullshit promo that WWE wrote for you. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that we've talked about this countless number of times, but just sort of kind of to reiterate the matters. When you have 2, 3, 4, however many writers they have, or whatever, you have a select number of writers writing for dozens upon dozens of people. And people, it ends up turning out that a lot of people sound the same. A lot of people have the same voice. They talk about the same things. They use the same phrases. Like, if I can have a drinking game at home, take a shot every time somebody uses a phrase, pushed me to my limit. Yeah. Everybody fucking says that. It feels inauthentic sometimes. Like, that is, if any, you know, you could say any one good thing about AEW. You could say a lot of good things about them, in my opinion, at the moment. But it's the fact that they let people be themselves and people feel unique. You got, you know, Darby Allin doing his crypto promos where he's like skateboarding in black and white or whatever the fuck, setting things on fire in a field somewhere. And you have, you know, Eddie Kingston doing promos only Eddie Kingston can do, wearing, you know, mm-hmm. the basketball shorts and the backwards hat, as we said. You know, just everybody has their own little feel and vibe and the uniqueness about them that makes it more interesting that way. Whereas right now at WWE, it's just a lot of scripted. Everybody says the same kind of things. They use the same kind of buzzwords.
Well, it's like a baker trying to use a cookie cutter rather than just letting, you know, the cookies take their shape.
Well, I'll use a word. I'll channel. We'll go back in time here. A little bit of a blast from the past. Homogenized. If you remember back in the day, old Spencer in THT days.
Yeah.
He used to always say that. And it as true now as it was back then.
Pasteurized.
It's pasteurized.
There you go. Really, it is, man. When you get writers, okay, look, let's say you have the same writer as the next guy. Yeah, it's going to sound the fucking same. It's the same guy fucking writing it for you and for this person, guy or girl, whatever it is, or whatever they identify as. You know what I mean. It's crazy. But I don't know, man. Seth Rollins did great. Roman Reigns promo tonight again. Roman and Cena, I thought, were fucking great tonight. They pushed that the whole night, and I think it was worth it. Roman had some great lines. Cena had some great lines. They had a great back and forth. Cena, though, I believe, has been slaying Roman Reigns with that mic. Now, the crowd getting behind Cena, which... again, baffles me. We hated this guy for a decade, and suddenly it's like, oh my God, our Lord and Savior Cena is back. What? Y'all hated this man. I literally saw people begging this man to leave, and then he leaves, and then he comes back, and they're like, oh, thank God, dude. I have a tweet. I have a tweet from you a year ago that says, "Fuck this John Cena guy." Or, you know, 5 years ago. Well, it's ridiculous, man.
I thought I deleted that tweet, but I see what you're saying.
I know you did. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring it up again.
Yeah, sorry, subject. I get what you're saying, but like...
That's when he blocked you.
that's right. Delete, block. It's just a testament to the fact that he's not being shoved down people's throats anymore. Like, I don't think there's really a problem with John Cena necessarily as a whole. Like, as a performer, he's a good performer. He does good promos when they allow him to, and they don't have him coming out and saying that people are doo-doo heads or whatever the fuck he would do at times. Well, he literally put, like, JBL as a poopy face or some shit on a limo once. It was just like, ugh. So there was that. But, I mean, when you actually let him be him and in big match situations, he performs well. He does their style pretty well. I mean, he's not a bad wrestler by any means.
I think Weeb's just named the show.
We've seen enough.
Oh, my God. Is that a T-shirt or what?
I think it actually is a T-shirt. I've seen the sign before.
That is fucking perfect. And it's right. Because, I mean, but here's the thing, though. It's the opposite. This crowd is like, no, we haven't seen enough. They want to see more. Again, a lot of us spent a lot of time. He doesn't even get the John Cena. John Cena sucks. It didn't happen tonight. They don't do it anymore. They missed him.
Well, but I think the one thing that changed is sort of the culture. Is like now that John Cena is, I guess, Chinese, it's racist to dislike him.
Right. Just when you think you have the answers to all the questions, I change the culture.
That's right.
There you go.
China's favorite son, John Cena.
John Cena. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Or it also works if you just do the Spanish pronunciation and call him John Cena.
Oh, Juan Cena.
Mm-hmm. That works. There's that as too. Famous luchador, as we discussed in the chat room.
Famous. We talked about Rollins promo. Montez Ford versus Otis. So, Mark, I got to say, I'm finally getting used to this clean-shaven Otis. Took me a while, but I'm liking what they're doing with him. I said before I'd like to see him serious. I'd like to see him go out there and fucking crush people. And he's doing it now. And I think Montez Ford is actually, what's the word I'm looking for? Accelerating the character for Otis, just the way he sells, what he does, and just how he is in the ring. I really think he's out there to almost put Otis over. And holy shit, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Otis.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like the look. I kind of always like it. It's just a different kind of a look because he just, I don't know. Like normally when people become bad guys, they like, it's a trope that they grow a beard. Like he shaved his off to become a bad guy. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. He's the baby face bad guy. That's interesting. I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And when he finally does turn on Gable, which we know is going to happen, it's going to be a great moment. He's going to really be a great baby face after that happens. So,
right, yeah, he has an automatic out. So that's good for him too.
Absolutely. The day he turns on Gable is going to be a great day for him. If they can use it, going back to the old Tucker days. We had Rick Boogs tonight. Not only play guitar, but actually debut in a match. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, this isn't in my notes, but that guy is I hate to say this, but he is a sports entertainer.
So you were thoroughly sports entertained while watching this gentleman?
I was incredibly sports entertained watching this guy. I really was.
Take a break for a cricket commercial at this point.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe. But I really was. I think the guy did good. He actually ended up getting the pin, which I think was a great move on their part because the crowd really loved this guy. And it's like they wanted him to win. I don't know if it was a split, some sort of quick decision to change it, but to let him win that match was a great idea. The crowd was behind him. They wanted him to win. After the match, he goes over there and he celebrates with Pat McAfee, whatever you want to call him. I'm sorry. It's spelled McAfee. I can't say it the wrong way.
I understand. You're honor bound.
No, my OCD kicks in.
But I mean, like, the thing about him is he was in NXT for a pretty long time, and like you would always hear reports about how people loved him within the company and other wrestlers loved him and how he seemed to do a good job connecting with fans. I saw a lot of people bragging about him and saying they needed to use him more, and just for whatever reason he just kind of sat there just being unused for a pretty long amount of time, and now I guess they found something for him to do and it seems like he's made the most of it, and good for him. I mean, he's the crowd loves him. Pat McAfee does a good job of getting him over.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. And I'll tell you the truth, man, he just seems like the kind of guy you'd want to sit and have a beer with.
Yeah, I can see that.
He really does. Just kind of pick his brain a little bit, see what's going on in there. But really talented guy. I think he's what he has the it there that WWE is looking for. Now, I know Jericho said with that name he's never going to go far, but I think right now, having him go out there, be in that, you know, the role he's in is good. And we can, you know, we can adjust the name, we can adjust the character as it goes. But I think it kind of explains why Elias is, you know, cut that promo he did or made the video he did last week that, oh, Elias is dead. You've got another guy on guitar who's better. Simply better. Mm-hmm. So you don't need two of them. You go with the one who's really better on the guitar and can fucking wail on that motherfucker. And I'm a huge, I love me a good guitar. So.
Yeah.
I like when a guitar sounds like a chainsaw, Mark.
Hey, you a big Jekyll fan, are you?
Not really.
Huh. Well, then you're a liar. You lied. You set me up for that one because you said you love when guitars sound like chainsaws.
Yeah, well, not that.
I see.
Yeah, more of a, you know, like, whatever. Anyway, go ahead.
That was actually all I had there on that was the Jekyll reference.
And again, I said before on the show that I'm really glad that they did away with these PSA promos for Bianca Belair. We did get her out there with two matches tonight, one from Zelina Vega, one from Carmella. Bianca Belair, obviously, tomorrow night against Sasha Banks. It's weird why they did this. They definitely want to put Bianca over as like a beast, a strong woman, which is great. But I feel like they almost gave Carmella too much offense here. I think she should have squashed Valina. Zelina and Carmella and made herself look strong if she's going to win tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If she's going to win tomorrow, they should have really done that, in my opinion. Not giving Carmella this. Now, I know in the beginning of the match, Carmella got those two super kicks in before we went to commercial, but I think they should have had her squash both of them just to be dominant. Really put her over as a fucking really dominant champion. But no, they can't resist having Carmella out there for 15 fucking minutes.
That's the thing, though, is like, I don't necessarily agree with it, but they like her. They do. I mean, they really like her. They have her sort of perpetually at the number, like around that, hovering around the number one contender spot. They have her showing up during all these segments involving Sasha and Bianca. Like, they see her as a bigger star than perhaps we, the general public, do.
Which is scary because, let's face it, the general public is who buys your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they want to tell their story. That's, you know, that's not unlike them to shove people down our throats that don't necessarily connect with us.
Roman Reigns. I get where you're going. And as far as SmackDown, the last thing we know that was on that show was the Cena-Roman thing, which we pretty much already got into, man. I just really liked it. Thought it was great. Thought Cena had some great lines. Roman had some great lines. But I really feel that Cena has been kind of getting the upper hand on the mic lately with him. And again, the crowd being behind him definitely is a plus that they're cheering behind him. So I don't know, man. Just weird to me. Just weird. Time, the old saying, time, what is it? Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
There you go.
Obviously, it works the same way with John Cena, but I'm not as jazzed as everyone to see him back. I'm really not. I don't need to see John Cena win the 17th fucking championship. I don't need it. It's not something that's missing from my life. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sitting there. I'm not going to be sitting there wearing my, like, wristbands and hat and T-shirt. Although I would actually, I would do that just for the visual aspect of that. I feel like that'd be pretty funny.
Please take that selfie and send it to me directly.
Well, I got to buy all this merchandise first. To say that it's sitting there in my closet, you know, freshly pressed, is not something I'm willing to admit to at the very least. That being said, like, for real, though, we went over the card, and of the matches that we talked about, that's one of the ones that has potential to be a pretty good match. Like, I mean, I'm not clamoring for Cena to win either, and, you know, they really haven't done a lot to make the belt seem all that interesting. But I feel like they'll tell a good story. I feel like they'll have a good match.
They'll definitely have a good match, and I think Cena will take the ass-kicking that he's promised. Good on him to be able to just go out there and probably take this fucking whooping that we're about to see and sell for Roman like we're probably about to see. But I just, you can never get past that feeling that no matter how bad John Cena's getting his ass kicked, there is going to be that 1, 2, 3, 5 moves of doom and 1, 2, 3. So I love the fact that the whole time Cena's cutting this thing, he kept saying, all he needs is 3 seconds. 3 fucking seconds. That's it. 1, 2, 3. I like the fact that he kept bringing that up. I'm not, again, crazy about the fact that possibly he could do that, you know, this weekend. But, dude, you're not supposed to lie as a babyface. So if he goes out there and gets squashed, it's not going to be good. Not at all. Not that I really expect this match to be a fucking 5-star match, but
we'll see. I mean, you kind of already touched on it, though, but that's kind of the cornerstone of John Cena matches, is just him getting beaten up a lot and then sort of making that heroic comeback. I don't think we'll necessarily get that, even though I did technically predict him to win, so we will get that. I mark my words, pounded my fist on the table here. But, you know, like I said, that's what he does. Those are his matches. That's sort of the classic, almost kind of a Ricky Morton-esque format of just getting beat and getting the crowd to cheer for him and then, you know, making the comeback.
Yeah, and definitely could happen, and we'll fucking see what goes on. But I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. I don't know. I'll talk to Smart. We may jump on tomorrow night and do a quick recap. I'll see how drunk I get so I don't have to work tomorrow. We'll go from there. But I got nothing else, Smart. What about you?
No, that pretty much covers it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and knock out these plugs since we did not do them at the beginning, and we'll go ahead and get on out of here. Of course, that means I want you guys to jump over on the Mixlr.com/MetalMitNetwork. That's right, 2 T's and Met. I want you guys to jump over there and check out the high marks. It's Cheese Man Mojo and G Wiz over there on the Metal Mit Network, and you should be checking them out 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Mixlr. So check them out. And, of course, you've got Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blades. They are the Inhumans on the Inhuman Experience. Check them out on all the usual podcast platforms, and you will definitely not be disappointed. Of course, you've got Eric, Doug, Daniel over there on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Check out those guys, all the usual podcast platforms. And, of course, Blog Talk Radio and Steve Milan. You guys definitely want to go over there, show him some love. He's on Letterboxd, boxd.com/Steven Milan, 2 L's in Milan. He's over there reviewing those movies. Definitely go over there and check out his reviews. Of course, you guys can find us on iHeart, Stitcher, Anchor, YouTube. Once again, definitely join up with the subscribe to the YouTube. If anything big happens, that's where me and Smark are going to be talking about it come Fridays when we're not doing these Friday shows anymore. We'll be jumping over there, talking about whatever comes up that's important. And there you go. Subscribe. Definitely go to our Dirt Sheet Dudes YouTube channel. And, of course, you guys can always find us on Stitcher, iHeart, YouTube, Anchor, anywhere you find podcasts.
That's it. Mondays, 8:30 p.m. on the Metal Mid Podcast Network on the Mixlr machine. Cheese on Sports with Cheese, man. Cheese Master. We got the NFL coming up. They're on preseason as we speak. There's always something going on in the UFC world. Playoff chase is starting in MLB. So there's all kinds of things that you want to check them out and listen to. Cheese on Sports to hear them cover. And Sundays, 10:30 a.m. on the Metal Myth Podcast Network on the Mixler Machine. We had the Mo Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo and with Dirk. Funny how that works, huh? And last but certainly never least, you want to be sure to check out our friends at Planet Rack on Tour. So Planet Rack on Tour with Bobby Anthem, Papa Dave Sincere, and Yuck Nasty. Season 1 is complete. Season 2 is underway, so be sure to subscribe so that you will not miss a thing, which is, of course, Aerosmith's biggest fear. They didn't want to miss a thing, and you won't miss a thing if you subscribe.
There you go. And, of course, everyone in the chat room, really appreciate you guys listening. You are the left aorta of this fucking podcast. That's right, the vein that pumps blood, the left aorta. I appreciate it, most definitely. And anyone who downloads, appreciate it. Anyone who listens, you're appreciated. Smark, you, sir, are more appreciated.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. You're appreciated as well.
Oh, thank you, sir. And that means we'll be back Wednesday night right here. You guys enjoy the weekend. Have fun. It is a hell of a wrestling weekend. Don't watch too much wrestling. And there you go. See ya.
Adios.